much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Nobody in life gets exactly what they thought they were going to get. But if you work really hard and you're kind, amazing things will happen. Let's make something amazing happen right now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Do you think the world would be a better place, you guys, if we had Christmas every day?
What do you think?
No.
And now,
you better not shout, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why, Santa Claus is dead.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, how are you going to come at Santa like that?
That's terrible. I'm sorry you had to hear that.
Little kids, just ignore that.
Yeah, the bad man doesn't know what he's talking about.
No.
He's just being mean.
Hey, speaking of the Christmas season, and you know, you turn your attention, you think about those poor people less fortunate than yourself. What must it feel like for you guys to not have spaghetti right now? Because I'm looking at my spaghetti and I'm thinking I must be the luckiest little boy in the world because you guys don't even have a big old heaping hot plate of spaghetti in front of you.
It's true, I don't.
Right? Yeah, you're not very good at this this burn game.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean,
how could you not? How could you not look at me with my big heaping hot bowl of spaghetti and go, sure must be better to be Bean right now than me?
It would take a lot more than that for us to say that. It really would. It would take, I would have to be able to do magic, and I would be able, and I would have to be able to have endless choices from a genie for the rest of my life to make me want to be you.
Spaghetti's not enough?
Well, no.
Okay. Do you have garlic bread?
I don't have garlic bread.
All right, see?
Kind of breakfast is
no
that?
No kind of Italian meal going on there?
You got nothing.
So my spaghetti is not enough. My
no.
Steven.
Nope.
Okay. All right. All right, here's a story I promised you yesterday. Kevin, I know you were infuriated when you saw the headline about the woman who died and left $13 million to her cat.
Yes.
She is the widow of an Italian property tycoon. She left the fortune to her beloved kitty, Tommaso, when she died 2 weeks ago at the age of 94. This includes cash. The cat now owns property in Rome and Milan. The woman's health began to fail about 2 years ago. She does have no children, which I know is the first thing you were thinking.
Good.
Is, hey, is she cutting somebody out of the will here?
Right.
By the way, not all kids automatically deserve your stuff, by the way. Even if she had kids, that doesn't mean that they should get a penny. In this case, she did not have kids, though. So she apparently didn't even have close friends or anything to leave the money to, and she had planned this out in advance. Her initial goal was to leave the estate to an animal welfare association. She figured, hey, I'll give the money to animal charities. They'll look after my cat and use the rest of the money for good things.
See, that's what I think. That would be much, much, much better.
Yeah.
But she was not satisfied with any of the available groups available for her to choose from.
So she started one, and then
she decided that's another great idea.
Yeah.
But no, I guess she didn't really want to start a business at that time at 92. So she decided to leave all her money to the cat via her nurse. Her nurse is the lady who cared for her till she died. So in essence, her nurse got the $13 million.
Wow.
So they're living outside of Rome in an undisclosed location, and I assume once the cat dies, which could be any minute now, depending on how the nurse handles this.
Could be yesterday, for all we
then
know.
All of a sudden, this nurse has $13 million. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to read this story is I thought this was interesting. Tommaso is third on the list of pets who have been left the most money.
What?
No kidding.
Kalu the chimp had an owner who left him $80 million. And a German shepherd named Gunther inherited $372 million from an eccentric German countess.
That the German shepherd really is the right? I mean, a German shepherd with that much money?
He can do anything,
any
man.
He wants.
All blinged
That's
out.
Right. Absolutely. He'd go ahead. He'd get the garlic bread too.
Sure.
Yes.
The only story that I ever recall happening like this in the United States. These are all crazy foreigners, but and Lisa, you'll remember this. Leona Helmsley. She left $12 million to her dog.
I do.
And in that case, her family took the will in dispute and took it to court.
Good.
And the judge ended up reducing the dog's payout to only $2
million. Good. How did that dog live on only $2 million?
How is it
that
supposed
is
to?
Tragic.
That's just such a slap in the face to end.
You know,
to people.
Yeah, if you don't like your relatives and you love animals, then as you pointed out, leave it to the ASPCA, the Humane Society, or somebody like that
that's doing great work. She couldn't find one pet charity.
Leave your dog $1 million. Yeah. I think that's good enough.
Yeah. Leave your dog $30, Lisa.
Agreed.
Well, you wanted to live in the lifestyle manner it was accustomed to.
Yes. Well, we literally do have in our will provisions and money set aside to care for our animals in the event that we both die, and they are assigned to people who have agreed to take on that task.
That's a great idea.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
What percentage of what you leave behind is going to go to any one animal?
Oh, I mean, it's what's necessary to for medical bills and food, right? There's nothing else. But and we did that, you know, many, many years ago. We put a will together, not because we thought we were going to die. We were very young, but because we had livestock, and you know, we were just worried that the state was going to come in and take our cows and you know, kill them all or something. So that's why we wanted to make sure that there were provisions for that.
But now that you have dead stock and not livestock, now you have to revise your will.
Well, Thomasina is a lucky little cat. That's all I have to say today.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Your movements are slower. Your responses are slower.
Yeah.
There's a dullness about you.
That's very true. Thank you, Oprah. on today's show, we are going to count down the top 10 Omar intros for the year.
Oh, I can't wait. Omar, by the way, is a one-man glee. The songs that he comes out with every week on this show, but good.
Yeah.
Okay. But with talent, yeah. I watched Glee for the first time this season last night.
And?
Because it was their Christmas episode.
Oh, dear.
And I wanted to see their Christmas song.
Uh-huh.
God, is that a terrible show.
Still?
Has it gotten worse?
Horrible. Yeah. Not funny. Just ridiculous. Just terrible.
Let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. Were we just wrong in the beginning? Or was it...
No, it was good.
Or was it new enough? Or was it really that much better? Because I think
it was that much better. It absolutely was. The plot lines were interesting. And, of course, yeah, the kids were new and the concept was novel and we hadn't seen anything like that before. But if they were still doing the kinds of episodes they were doing back then, I would not have dumped it at the beginning of season two. It fell off a shelf. It really did.
Yeah. Maybe somebody important left, you know, a showrunner or somebody who really was the crux of that whole show.
Yeah.
So we have Jimmy Kimmel on the program today.
Yeah.
Love Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Saw him at a Piece of Christmas. Didn't have a chance to get over to him. But he's the best. And unrelated, Santa Carl will be here as well today.
Oh, what are the chances? They're going to both be in today?
Yeah.
Oh.
Very exciting.
That means Christmas to me.
That's correct. Top 10 sound bites of the year. We're going to give you those just after the top of the hour in about a half hour.
Great list.
Would you like to take that back?
Yes, I would.
I'm going to hold you to that then. I'm going to hold you to that. Because Bean's the guy who almost never takes stuff back. He does sometimes, but almost
over half the time I take stuff back.
Sure. And comedian Jay Moore.
Yes.
Wow.
How about that? In the studios today. Very excited.
Hey, there's one
that.
Other thing you don't know about yet.
Please. Tell me.
These words were said on TMZ television last night.
Who is this sad, pathetic human? Bean!
So we got that for you.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, they covered in depth the Scarlett Johansson auction is
awesome.
What they did on
That's
TMZ
hilarious.
Last night.
Because I remember when it happened, and I think it was Dave who said maybe they would be interested in this, and Bean said no.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either.
I wouldn't either. No,
I wouldn't think so either. But if they're taking the sad, pathetic human being angle, now I'm in.
Well, what other angle is there?
That's true. There is no other.
So we definitely have to bring that to you. I think you will all enjoy
it. Fantastic.
Everyone in this room will enjoy it, except for one person.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. As long as that one person is you.
It's me. Yes, it is.
All right. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is coming up next.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock at 10 minutes till 6.
Ralph Garman is here, joining us in studio, as he do, for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. How are you, Ralph?
I'm doing well, sir.
Great.
I am tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because we're winding down to the end of the year, and so you see that sometimes when you see the finish line, mm-hmm. Your cramps start to get a little worse as you're running that marathon.
Sure.
Right.
Then when you're just, you know, running the race and you just say, okay, I just have to push through. But sometimes when you see the end, I think sometimes your body starts to say, okay, it's time for you to lie down now.
Shut down now. And then, but a couple days early and you go, no, not yet.
No, I still need you. I still need you, body. Please keep going forward. So I woke up this morning. I said, am I going to actually be able to make it to work today?
Yes.
Yeah, we're limping.
Just a little bit. So.
Ah, the Christmas spirit is upon me. That's all I can say.
All right.
By Christmas, I mean being a lazy, fat bastard.
Sure.
Drinking eggnog on my couch. That's what I'm looking forward to. Speaking of Christmas presents, here's one for you. How would you like to go to a very special K-Rock advance screening of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yay!
Happens Monday, December the 19th on the Sony lot. It's in theaters everywhere on Wednesday, December the 21st. But if you're one of the first three lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, first three callers will get a pair of passes to see The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo before anyone else. Tell your friends.
Pretty cool.
Tell your friends I'm better than you because I saw the movie first. And they'll say, well, how did you get that? How did you get that special invite to the Sony lot to see that movie? You'll say, I know, dude.
Just better.
That's right. I'm that dude. Brooke Mueller has finally bit the bullet, and she has decided she will, in fact, enter an inpatient drug treatment center as opposed to her original plan to do the outpatient program. Her representative says that her past attempts at kicking her addiction have not been successful.
Yeah.
Really? You think? And Brooke has decided to take a different approach regarding her sobriety. I guess that different approach would be not doing drugs.
She's going to try that, see if it works.
She will be under expert supervision 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, she says. So, best of luck, Brooke. But that cocaine sure is yummy, isn't it? I feel bad for her because it's sure yummy.
Tough to give up.
It sure is.
Dr. Drew has got to be so sad there's no celebrity rehab. She would have been an outstanding candidate for a new season.
She would have. And Charlie could have shown up on visitor day.
Yep, sure. A lot of fun.
Oh, it would have been winning. You know Christina Perry? Very attractive, very talented young lady who sings Jar of Hearts. Had a hit with that song.
I like her.
She's a badass.
Is that right?
She was pulling into a Los Angeles garage at 2 a.m. in the morning last Friday when a dude showed up, grabbed her car door, opened it up, and said, move over. Was going to take her and the car, God knows where.
Not good.
Not good at all. She refused. Started to fight back. A struggle ensued. She starts honking the horn, trying to get attention. Guy starts popping her in the head.
Oh, my God.
She keeps going, keeps fighting, keeps honking that horn. He eventually got scared off and ran away.
Nice.
So not only did she save her car, but potentially her life. Because they say if someone takes you someplace, if you're abducted, you know, if a mugger takes you to another location, odds are not good for your survival. So she did absolutely the right thing. But police are investigating the incident. But they say Christina potentially saved her life by fighting back against her assailant.
It's good news.
She's a little waif of a thing, too. I'm impressed
by her. Yeah, she is. She looks like she's like 5'3 or something.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting. I mean, after the fact, you can say it looks like she saved her life. Who knows what the guy's intentions were. But if you ask any police officer, they will tell you, do not resist. They will say, your life is not worth your property. Go ahead and give them whatever they want and walk away.
Told her, get out, I want your car,
that's one thing.
He wanted her to scoot over.
He said, move over. He was going to take her and the car. And police say just the opposite. If they say if a assailant takes you is going to take you to another location, if they're going to walk you into a dark alley, if they're going to take you to a abandoned field someplace, if they're going somewhere,
that's not a positive sign.
They say fight back, do everything you can to stop the encounter right there, because if they do take you to a secondary location, odds of your survival are very slim.
I can't tell you how valuable this information is going to be for me over the holidays.
What? Gosh, that's so creepy.
Oh, man.
I'm just making plans like everyone.
I hope someone takes you to a secondary location. and a tertiary location.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Who is this sad, pathetic human? Bean!
That's the greatest drop ever. Is it too late to enter a drop into the year-end countdown?
We can make it an honorable mention.
That
knowing
might be number one with a bullet.
Knowing that we're going to use it so much next year, we could just go ahead and put it in.
Ugh. Porn star Kim Kardashian is having some self-esteem issues. I doubt that.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Friends are saying since she split up with Chris Humphries, she feels completely unattractive. So what she's doing to fix her self-esteem issues is to hire two different personal trainers.
Really?
Yes.
One for her butt and then...
One for each cheek. She's doing yoga and Pilates every day and has kicked off a new diet. She's vowing to transform herself. Listen, she doesn't need personal trainers. She needs some sort of talent coach. Something that's like an acting coach or a singing coach. Someone to develop some talent in her. Which may justify her fame as opposed to just working on her Pilates.
put in any kind of potential, anything. Any kind of talent.
Get her looks are not the problem. Right. It's her personality and her abilities.
Get her a math tutor, an elocution expert. I don't know. Do something to improve the inside of yourself. Porn star Kim Kardashian. God damn. While we're talking about talentless whores, Sarah Leal. Does that name sound familiar to you?
Yes. Yes. But why?
She is the 22-year-old who was the other woman with Ashton Kutcher when he played around behind his...
The mouthy one?
His girl in San Diego.
Demi Moore. Yeah, it's a girl in San Diego who went to several different tabloids and broadcast her story as much as she could after the fact.
She was sparsing it out just little by little, wasn't she? Just a word at a time.
She was in the news for about 2 weeks with a new aspect of the story.
And then
day.
We... And then you have to go to the next piece.
That's right. It was a serial. It was an installment kind of deal. Well, now she says she feels bad.
Oh, really?
But she wants you to know she has not gone unscathed either. She has suffered because of this relationship.
Sure.
She said people now think she's a slut party girl. And she wants to tell you she's not a slut party girl.
Wasn't she having sex with Ashton Kutcher, a man she just met that day?
Well,
at a party?
Partying in his room? Yeah, she was. But she said she didn't know he was married at the time.
Yeah, that's what she said originally.
No, that's what she said. Look, in her defense, they had a very low-key marriage. Very few people knew that Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore were married. They did not make a big public thing out of it.
Right. You would have heard about that single day on the news.
They both had millions of Twitter followers, and they talked about their relationship constantly in the press.
Was this in the news?
She also said her father wouldn't speak to her after the scandal hit. She lost her job and lost her best friend as well.
You know what she could have done? Is kept it under her hat.
Yeah, that's one thing you could have done.
Yeah.
Kept your
Maybe just don't tell
mouth
anybody.
Shut, and then nothing would have happened to anybody. You would have had a good night. You could have had a nice little story to tell your friends quietly after the event. But you didn't have to go to Us Weekly, Sarah Leal. Slut party girl, Sarah Leal.
You've done so many stories over the year with people who volunteer to be in the public eye and then spend the rest of their lives complaining that they're in the public eye.
I know. Daniel Craig. He's a guy who maybe shouldn't be saying so much in the public eye. Us Weekly magazine has a list of things he said this past year that paint Daniel as perhaps a grumpy dude.
All right.
He says, just wind up an actor and set them off. All they want to do is talk about themselves, said Daniel about himself. He said, if you buy your own press and come to think you're as great as everyone says you are, you also have to buy your own press when the public turns against you and people go down in flames. Something in me admires that. He likes when people go down in flames, apparently.
Okay.
He said, can't believe we're off tomorrow. I never liked Sean Connery, he said.
Oh. He did not.
Yeah, he did.
Never liked Sean Connery.
Was he drunk?
I never liked Pierce Brosnan much, he added.
Oh, that's not cool for James Bond to start slagging on the old Bonds. Come
what?
On.
No, it's not.
He broke the code.
Not cool.
He did. He broke the Bond code. Yeah. Can't believe we're off tomorrow.
The only appropriate way to handle that is I stand on the shoulders of giants. I'm
That's
lucky
right.
to have this job, and I thank
That's
the
right.
great man who portrayed James Bond before me.
I never liked Sean Connery or Pierce Brosnan much, he said.
Well, I wonder what Mr. Connery thinks about Mr.
Boy,
Craig.
Boy, do I wonder.
Affiliates, we're going long.
Today's celebrity birthdays, bassist Clift Williams of AC/DC is 62 years old today. That's always the good answer to give, by the way, if we ever play one of these games. That we play here on the radio.
Sure. AC/DC. It's a good guess.
Actor Ted Raimi from Xena, Warrior Princess, and Spider-Man. He is the brother of Sam Raimi, the director. And Ted and I used to be in acting class together back in the day. I love Ted. He's a very good guy, and I wish him a happy birthday. He is 46 years old.
Will you call him when It's Bobby, the sitcom, hits the airwaves?
I think he could be Bobby's wacky next-door neighbor. Absolutely.
Great. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Singer Beth Orton is 41 years old today. Actress and model Sophie Monk.
Yeah.
She's 32 years old. And Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
V-Hudge.
As she's nope.
known as the kids call her.
Do they call her V-Hudge?
Nope.
No.
She's from High School Musical, and she is 23 years old. You know, I think we can trace Bean's creepiness all the way back to High School Musical. That's when it started to become sort of festering. When I think really yeah. it started to show up on the outside as well as the inside.
You thought I was too fond of my sweet Zac Efron at the time, if I recall. That's how it all began.
All
right?
of it. All the High School Musical. And how you would make appointments when they made a second one. You'd set aside the night that it debuted, and you'd pop your popcorn and get out your duct tape and your taser. And it just made everybody very uncomfortable.
You may be right.
That might be the story. Time's in, time of our life. Anticipation.
That was good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Glee is an awful show, Pete says, but High School Musical, oh, count him in.
Well, he's their target demographic. I mean, that's who they're shooting for.
Yes, pedophiles. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 6.
Got a hell of a show straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean program, including our old friend Jimmy Kimmel stops by. Comedian Jay Moore is going to be with us next hour. And it really is the most wonderful time of the year when Santa Carl stops by to talk to the chillin', the little boy or girl. I love Santa Carl so much. Anyway, that'll be the 8 o'clock hour if you want to arrange to have your kids call in to talk to Santa. Right now, though, we continue our retrospective in the top tens of various Kevin and Bean categories, as we do about this time every year, and we are up to the top 10 sound bites of 2011. Now, Kevin, how would you explain the sound bite that has become so popular on our show?
I don't know. It's just it's a tiny clip, tiny audio clip that we find from somebody, and sometimes it's just completely generic, sometimes it isn't, but we try to work it into the show as much as we can throughout the year.
We replay it ad nauseum, is what you're saying.
Yes, we do. It makes us so happy, too.
Yeah, I don't know
sometimes
why, but
you hear a soundbite and you go, oh my God, I don't know how I ever lived. I don't know how I ever lived without it. As a matter of fact, I mean, as Ralph pointed out earlier today.
Who is this sad, pathetic human? Bean!
So you see that on your TV and you go, wow, that's something that we're going to have a lot of fun with. Yeah, and what we've done is we have compiled for you and we'll play back.
Yes. I can tell you right now, that clip is number one for 2012.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope we have a new Omar intro as we present for you here the Kevin and Bean Top 10 Soundbites of 2011.
Don't think we have an intro.
What? We have an intro for all of these.
Well, I think so, but you didn't. Did you check ahead of time? But I have top 10 moments. You want me to play that one?
Well, no, that doesn't help us at all.
All right.
Well, this is an underwhelming start, then,
well,
to this feature.
Saying, you know, maybe check. Maybe ask that question when we're off the air.
Well, Omar does intros for all of
right,
these.
Right, but I just
top 10 beer mug moments.
Maybe
top 10 internet route.
The air, not on.
Number 10 is a homegrown soundbite from our old friend Dave, the King of Mexico. And this became so popular this year after he said it because, you know, whenever things fall apart, we always blame David. And of course, he claims it's never him. It got so popular that when we were down at Comic-Con this year, a listener showed up with a T-shirt that had Dave's now famous saying on it.
Number 10.
Not my fault.
I mean, that's Dave right there.
It's not my fault.
Whatever it is, it's not my fault.
He doesn't even know what was being complained about at the time.
Nope.
Just that's his answer.
Right. Record Store Day this year, we had on a guy that we fell very deeply in love with who runs an independent record store down in Atlanta, I believe. And we were asking him, you know, to kind of give people the background on Record Store Day, people who did not know about it.
Right. And do you remember, we were sort of afraid of the hippie indie douchebags, right? And so we go to this guy to try and make people understand it and help them get a better view of it and not look at it so negatively.
We were trying to promote what I think is a very cool thing that I look forward to every year to help guys like him draw new customers into the record store because most people don't bother going. Well, here was his reaction to us when we asked one too many questions.
Number 9.
Open up a blog.
I mean, really, he just couldn't have been... That could have been douchier.
That was his whole answer to everything. It was just open up a blog.
Open up a blog. Don't waste your time. Number 8 comes from our friend George Lucas. This was the big year that he did the quote-unquote upgrades to the Star Wars Blu-rays. And he, he added some dialogue in a crucial scene. I think we all remember this.
Number 8.
No!
Yeah.
Yeah, Darth Vader didn't need to scream no as that fight was going on with the Emperor, but now he does.
We really did understand that. We really did read between the lines on that one. Everyone. Everyone did.
It's not like George Lucas was sitting around going, that Star Wars movie was just not successful. Right. I think it was actually Return of the Jedi or whatever. He said, this series was not successful. Maybe I need to re-explain to people what's going on. It's a big waste of time right there. Here's one that made our top 10 sound bites of 2011 that only happened a couple of weeks ago. Our friend Doto stopped by at the Miss Double D pageant.
Number 7.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
I mean, come on.
That's true. That's what Bean asked him if he was going to try and go out on a date with some of the top 10 finalists for Miss Double December. So why not? There's a lot of answers for that, but not according to him.
Doto always delivers, man, and he's never been prouder of an answer than he was of that. Do you remember how happy he was when he came up with that?
Thrilled.
That would probably would have ended up higher on the list if we had more time to play it, but it was only 2 weeks old. All right, number 6, top 10 soundbites of 2011, Beer Mug, who fails at everything all the time, always.
But consistently. You got to say consistently.
He is. This was some attempt he had to make. I think he was trying to make some sort of a sex joke, and he was trying to be wacky, and it just, as usual, failed.
Number six.
That's not brown rice.
Well, that's 100% a sex joke, and he didn't get that. So he was just using it as, I don't know, a food joke or something. It just doesn't make sense unless it's sex.
It never made any sense. Number five is a CBS television, Channel 2 reporter, who made international news when she had some sort of a brain event, like almost like a stroke or something. Her name is Serena Branson. Fortunately, she's completely recovered. You can see her on TV on Channel 2 every day now. But this was her report that got her famous. Part of it happened after the Grammys back in February.
Number five.
Well, a very, very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Terrison, look for the bit, head of the pit.
It's still stunning to listen to, isn't it?
It is.
Wow.
It is. And she gets an excuse because she had some kind of a problem. I do that on a daily basis. And I don't get any slack.
I can't believe that wasn't you. That was that good. Number four on the list is a, it's a clip of a song that we fell in love with on YouTube that we played every time we had the opportunity to, quote unquote, hey, I've got a cut from that new album. This is the one that we turned to, comes in at number four.
Number four.
My vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped. So what, I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped.
Yeah. That's a sad little video, too.
She's happy, dude. She's happy. She just wants everybody to know that.
Hey, look, she's got some struggles. She's got some challenges in her life, but there's one part of her body that's working just fine.
Right.
All right, we're up to number three now. Do you remember the Kevin and Bean robots? What was the story that we were talking about? Were they making robots that would do a radio show, or how did it even come up?
Was it the new phone?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, no, it wasn't Siri.
They were making robots that do a radio show. That was the plan.
That doesn't sound right to me.
No, I think they interact. They interact with you or with each other.
Yeah, they
that's what it was.
Listen to conversations.
Yeah,
right?
And then they learn, and then you can actually have a conversation with them.
And then the suggestion was made that you don't need people anymore. You just put two robots in a room and let them do a show. So Ralph came up with a hilarious Kevin and Bean robot show of the future, and this was our favorite part of that.
Number three.
What?
Very good question. We never thought Hank Williams Jr. would be talked about on this radio show, but he did a very controversial interview that lost him the Monday Night Football gig a couple of months ago. He went on and said some disparaging things, some said comparing President Obama to Adolf Hitler. I don't think that was his intention, but it didn't play very well. And the soundbite that came out of that we love so much was this one.
Number two.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
That was the best.
He had to be baked, right? When he made that appearance. You remember how he looked on the View?
Yeah, he was crazy.
Had to be. And I think the best soundbite of the entire past 12 months is one that I don't think I'll ever get tired of and I'll never forget. CNN's Anderson Cooper was doing a story about actor Gerard Depardieu peeing in the aisle of an airplane.
Or Depardieu.
Yes, exactly. And he just couldn't stop laughing at the copy that he read on CNN when he was reporting the story where it had all sorts of puns in it about his name and about number two and about everything. And he just lost it. And we never got tired of listening to Anderson.
Number one in the USA.
Sorry. All right. Sorry.
And you think at some point he's going to pull himself out of the tailspin, get his composure, go back on the air and talk, right? He can't do anything.
Sorry, this has actually never happened to me.
Love it.
Always see this sort of thing on YouTube and you don't think
I think he said you always see this thing on YouTube, you never think it's going to be you.
Sorry, all right.
There's your top 10 sound bites of 2011. Do we have a big Omar close for this?
Yeah, of course. We have a close, even though we didn't have it open. No. What's wrong?
If you missed our interview with Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers yesterday, it is up at KROQ.com. Chip put up a nice post with a link to the audio if you want to listen to that. He talked all about his feelings on the Lakers changes, getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, state of the band these days. Really interesting stuff. Great guy. Love Flea so much. Well, last night I made my TMZ television debut, Kevin, and it was not a happy moment.
For you.
For the rest of us, it was great.
It was Christmas come early.
Yep.
You guys know by now, I think, that I accidentally won an auction for $7,000 to escort Scarlett Johansson on the red carpet for her the premiere of her new movie called We Bought a Zoo
How
in New York.
How was she, by the way? Was she a little standoffish, or was she kind?
I actually
she
didn't go.
She invites you to dinner? What?
I didn't really go because it was in New York, and I wasn't going to go. So I ended up essentially wasting the money. Did go to a good cause. It was for charity to help underprivileged kids. But the point is, I didn't go. So you guys have been giving me such a hard time, but it was finally starting to blow over. It was finally starting to recede a little bit. And now it's back with a vengeance because TMZ got a hold of it. And here's how they handled it on the TV last night.
The beautiful Scarlett Johansson getting stood up last night by a man who paid $7,000 for a date with her. Awesome. Who is this sad, pathetic human? Bean!
Love it. You don't ever want those words said on national television. Who is this sad, pathetic human? And then they say your name and your face is up on the screen.
Love it.
No es bueno.
Bean! Co-host of the Kevin and Bean Morning Radio Show on LA's KROQ-FM.
I bid on a thing because I thought it would be funny to talk about on the radio.
Turns out, as a joke, Bean placed a bid for a date with Scarlett Johansson at last night's premiere of her new movie, We Bought a Zoo.
It turned out a full day went by and nobody else bid, and I ended up winning the damn thing.
For $7,000!
Why is this guy screaming at me, by the way? Who is this guy?
You are an idiot. This story deserves screaming.
Don't yell at me, sir.
If he spent a little more, he could have actually bought a zoo himself.
Okay, now that's actually pretty funny.
Instead, he won a date with Scarlett Johansson and didn't go.
Why wouldn't he go?
Okay, so what they do is they're doing, doing the story and their audio clips and pictures and stuff, and then they cut to the TMZ newsroom. So why didn't he go? That's Harvey. That's Harvey who's standing there at their morning meeting that they taped for the television show, and they're about to get to the bottom of why I didn't go.
If only there was some sort of telecommunications device that transmits and receives sounds. Oh, yes, the phone!
You didn't go with Scarlett Johansson to the premiere?
The whole thing was a joke. I'd never in a million years planned on winning it.
But you did win. So why no go ScarJo, yo?
That's a great question, too, by the way.
Wow.
They called yesterday and I talked to them while we were playing a song. I talked to the TMZ newsroom and I didn't know that they were taping it at the time to put on television. But let's hear his question again.
So why no go ScarJo, yo?
I mean, like, I thought you like, you know, pretty girls.
Well, I very much like pretty girls. I'm married to one who wouldn't have been thrilled with me.
No, your wife wanted you to go.
Oh, he's going.
Okay, so they had the deep info on this story because I said I didn't think my wife would be all that crazy about it. They knew that she'd already been on the air and she'd already said, oh, no, if he spent $7,000 for something, he's going to use that and he's going to go. So that didn't work. So they continue to press for the real answer.
How about the truth? You owe us that much.
The last thing I wanted to do, though, after working all weekend, was get on another plane and fly to New York.
And look at two huge boobs on a beautiful woman. Bean, welcome to my team.
Okay.
How about
now,
that?
Wow.
I was a little bit surprised. I thought, is Harvey coming out on national television? What the hell's going on here? All of a sudden, I'm gay because I won't fly to New York to stand next to Scarlett Johansson, apparently.
No, you're gay for a lot of other reasons, Bean.
Welcome to my team.
He means you're short, or a Jew, or rich, because you donated $7,000 to charity. So it's not all bad. But don't you ever do that to Scarlett again! Ever!
I think I was sufficiently skewered on TMZ last night.
No, you were not, and you will not be for another full year of scorning.
Who is this sad, pathetic human? Bean!
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 20 minutes till 7 o'clock, sorry.
Or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, you know.
Funny man Jay Moore joins us in a few minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up, but first, I'm kind of, and I don't go to the movies very often, kind of looking forward to seeing Mission Impossible.
I know you're not going to see it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, I think is what it's called. It's the fourth in the series. Been a long time, something like 5 years since the last one. Tom Cruise is back starring again. A little bit of controversy this time. They filmed part of the movie in India, and he was doing a promotional tour a few days ago for the movie. And a huge crowd of fans appeared at the airport when he arrived in Mumbai. And that's not unusual. You see Tom Cruise, a big star, but people asked around a little bit, and the Daily Mail is reporting that those people were paid to show up and cheer for Tom Cruise.
To me, it is unusual, because most of the time, people don't have any idea when he's going to show up at the airport.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they want to keep that under the wraps.
Right. So then they asked somebody, and they said, yeah, we got lunch, we got a couple of bucks, we don't even know who he is.
That's bizarre.
And now he's saying, no way, I didn't do that. No, of course not. And I don't know if you know this or not, but, you know, at the MTV Video Music Awards, those people up front that are always waving their hands in the air like they just don't care, hired. Right. They're cast.
They are?
Yeah, they cast them.
I didn't know
they
that.
They have the right look, and then they all get up there, and they're extras, basically.
No kidding.
Same with the Super Bowl, where they surround the stage. Yeah, it's all extras.
I had no idea.
So that's what people are saying about this with Tom Cruise at the airport. Well, how could this many people show up at the airport just to see Tom Cruise? Apparently, according to the news there, hired extras.
Hmm.
How about that? So a couple of bucks and a free lunch. Paramount Pictures, who distributes the Mission Impossible movie, says no way, but that's not good enough for us. We wanted to go right to the source, and I believe we have Mr. Tom Cruise. Been a while since we talked to him, back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're doing great. Congratulations on this Mission Impossible movie. The Ghost Protocol, right.
Ghost Protocol.
The stuff we've seen in the commercial with you on the outside of the tallest building in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, my God. That looks...
It's all me. No stuntmen. It's all me.
No stuntmen. Wow.
Yeah, I saw a story that it wasn't you, that it was stuntmen.
Kevin.
It is you. Okay.
Don't use stuntmen. I am the greatest action star ever.
Well, I mean, you certainly have the box office to back that up. That's You're very
right.
popular. But let's talk about this incident in Mumbai. It's potentially a little bit of embarrassment for you. Kevin asked a great question. If your people did not alert them and pay them and ask for them to show up at a certain time to meet you at the airport, how otherwise would they have known when you were arriving? I'm here.
Don't be good.
Okay. What about the answer to my question?
I have no idea how they found out I was showing up.
You don't know how.
I don't know, but they love me, and I appreciate their love, and I reciprocate, and I'm glad. I love my fans, and I'm just glad they showed up. But it's ridiculous to assume that I would pay anyone to show up and to say hello to me. That's
what about the reporter that was there that interviewed one of the people that were there who said they got paid and they got a free lunch out of it? What about that?
Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin.
You already have my attention.
Kevin. Don't be glib. You can't believe everything you read in those papers. People make stuff up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And we gave them nothing. All right. Maybe a cow. We gave everybody a cow.
Okay, that's a lot, by the way.
But they love cows there.
Yeah.
It was just a thank you gift. Did you know in Mumbai they use cows as street drugs?
I was not aware of that.
It's true. They snort cows.
Wow.
You should check that, Tom. That doesn't sound right at all.
I've done the research, okay? I know.
I've done the research. Okay.
Did you give them the cows afterwards or before? I mean, did you say, hey, show up here?
Not cows, technically. We gave them cheeseburgers.
So you did give them lunch.
It's part of a cow.
A tiny little piece of cow.
Turns out they don't like that. They don't like to eat the cow so much.
Yeah, that was a bad choice in India to give them. They don't eat the cow, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to sue anyone who you claim are falsely saying that you paid these people to show up there?
I'm going to sue you.
No. Why are you going to sue me?
For asking that question.
I heard you're talking about a sequel. Yeah, okay.
We didn't make the volleyball scene gay enough last time.
That's true.
We're going to get that right this time.
Hey, you said that, so I'm going to sue you, man.
All right, thank you, Tom. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:54.
I don't know that I've ever seen a guy force a gift on somebody like Beer Mug trying to get Ralph to open his present.
Well, yeah.
Jesus.
He insists that I open his gift on
It's outrageous.
On it's great. It's gold. It's gold on the air and off the air. It's gold.
Now, from what I heard you say before you opened this ahead of the Showbiz Beat and the yes. Kevin and Bean Show and Jay Moore coming up after the top of the hour, from what I heard you say, if this is not the greatest effing gift you've ever seen, you're going to beat Muggs to death with it, right?
He's insisting this is the greatest gift ever, and I have to open it on the air because it's the best gift, and he's done just an amazing job. And when Muggs shows that sort of enthusiasm, and he's so convinced that something is awesome, almost invariably...
It's the inverse proportion rule. It's however much he sells it, it's that bad.
So now I'm now I'm scared. But if he's
now you're going to be disappointed no matter how great it is.
If he's willing to take the risk on air of me giving an honest reaction to this gift
and beating him to death with it,
then I think I'm going to have to do it.
Let's do it.
So it is the most wonderful time of the year. It's got lovely Happy Feet 2 wrapping paper on
yes.
it.
Oh,
that's what says the holiday season more than that?
That's nice. I love pandas.
Right, here we go. Oh, here we go. Here we go. It is the Criss Angel Mind Freak Magic Kit.
Yeah! Yeah! That's a pretty good gift.
Over 250 Mind Freak magic tricks you can perform, including Criss's secret floating device. I'm going to float around the studio.
Unless he's floating by the end of today's show, I'm going to beat you with it.
Well, Mug, congratulations. That actually is an excellent, excellent gift. Well
How
done,
about
sir.
That? Very nice job,
well
Mug.
Well done, Muggs. Thank you so
Ralph's
much.
Thinking, I have a white elephant party coming up. This is going to be perfect.
Re-gift, re-gift.
No, I don't have
re-gift.
To go get something else.
Re-gift.
Ralph, I want to see you elevating.
But I'm
on video at krock.com before the end of today's show.
I thought you would want to see Mugs disappear.
That's even better. That's a great idea.
Is that trick included in this kit?
No, I don't think so, unfortunately.
Well done, Mugs. Actually, it was very, very funny. Thank you so much.
All right. Time for the Showbiz Bit. Here's Ralph.
What is the time for?
It's a bit. The Showbiz Bit.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I would like to give away some more passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah!
Happens on the Sony lot Monday, December the 19th. It's in theaters everywhere Wednesday, December the 21st. But you'll get to see it before anybody else if you're one of the first two lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two callers that get through. Get a pair of passes. See Daniel Craig and Christopher Plummer and Runa Mary. No, that's not her
Mari?
Name. Mara Rooney. She should change her name.
It's a terrible name.
We don't know what her name is, but she looks great.
Let's just say Julia Roberts and be done with it.
Let's be done with it. So, congratulations if you're one of the first two callers. You'll get a chance to go. Daniel Craig, by the way, sounds cranky these days.
He does.
Said he doesn't like Sean Connery or Pierce Brosnan.
Huh.
I thought there was supposed to be a bond between Bonds.
I believe that is no longer true.
But it's not the case. While we're talking about great actors, the Screen Actors Guild has released their list of nominations for their acting awards they give out every year.
Okay.
Here they are for movies and television. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a leading role. This is for feature films. Demian Bichir for a Better Life.
Demian Bichir is good in
anyone?
Better
is anybody
Life.
Anyone? Bell with anybody?
No. He is, no and idea. That is.
Got nothing. I got nothing here. George Clooney for The Descendants.
Okay.
DiCaprio for J. Edgar.
Okay.
Jean Dujardin for The Artist. And Brad Pitt for Moneyball. My money's on The Artist, that silent movie that everybody's talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It takes a lot of acting chops to be able to deliver a role without speaking a word. That's all I'm saying.
Red State.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing. Red State.
I thought you said Red State.
Red State. Red State. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a leading role, Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs.
This is where she plays
a woman who pretends to be a man to get a job as a butler in Victoria, England.
Oh, I've seen the ad for this.
And she looks like a dude.
She does.
Okay.
Viola Davis for The Help. Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady. This is the movie that is yet to be released, but it is her playing Margaret Thatcher, Prime Minister of England. Tilda Swinton, We Need to Talk About Kevin, and Michelle Williams for My Week with Marilyn. Outstanding performance by male actor in supporting role, Kenneth Branagh, as Laurence Olivier in My Week with Marilyn, Armie Hammer and J. Edgar, Jonah Hill for Moneyball. How about him?
I'm glad.
Nick Nolte for Warrior, and Christopher Plummer for Beginnings. That's where he plays, Ewan McGregor's 75-year-old father who comes out of the closet at 75.
That's right.
Announces that
unbelievable.
Yeah.
By the way, remember my prediction that Nick Nolte from The Warrior would get an Oscar?
You did. You said that.
So we're partway there.
We are. He's nominated for a SAG.
And this is a good sign for Kevin, isn't it? Isn't the SAG, which is voted on by actors, isn't that a good precursor to the
Sounds
Oscars?
Like he sometimes? May be nominated, that's for sure. Yeah. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role. Berenice Bijou for The Artist. Jessica Chastain for The Help. And Melissa McCarthy for Bridesmaids. Rare to see a comic performance get nominated, but that's nice. Janet McTeer for Albert Nobbs. And Octavia Spencer for The Help. Best Outstanding Cast in a Motion Picture, The Artist, Bridesmaids, The Descendants, The Help, and Midnight in Paris, the Woody Allen movie. For television, here are your Outstanding Performances nominations in a drama. Patrick J. Adams in Suits. I have never watched The Suits.
I have a whole bunch of them on my TiVo.
That's about the guy who's a lawyer but not a lawyer, right?
Correct, yeah.
Steve Buscemi, Boardwalk Empire.
Love it.
Bam. Kyle Chandler, Friday Night Lights. How many seasons does this show have to be off the air before we stop trying to give them awards?
All.
Kyle Chandler, I mentioned that. Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad and Michael C. Hall for Dexter.
Awesome.
Best Female Actor in a Drama, Kathy Bates for Harry's Law.
Nope.
Glenn Close for Damages. Jessica Lange for American Horror Story. Juliana Margulies for The Good Wife and Kira Sedgwick for The Closer. Outstanding comic performance by a male actor, Alec Baldwin, 30 Rock, Ty Burrell for Modern Family, Steve Carell, The Office, John Cryer, 2 1/2 Men, and Eric Stone Street, Modern Family. I think Eric Stone Street should win. I find very few actors on television as consistently funny and believable as his role as Cam on Modern Family. That's a great, great performance.
He really is good in that, you're right.
Outstanding performance by a female actor in a comedy series, Julie Bowen for Modern Family, Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie, Tina Fey for 30 Rock, Sofia Vergara for Modern Family, and Betty White, Hot in Cleveland.
No,
are you effing kidding me?
Stop it! Hey, let's be cool and nominate that old lady that's funny occasionally.
Stop it.
She's really funny. On that
shut
show,
up! Stop it!
Well, she just is.
Stop it.
So there's some of your nominations for the SAG Awards.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
That's right. And before I get to celebrity birthdays, real quick story. Great story, but Michael Jackson. It's just been announced that a gambling website called OnlineGamblingPal.com. That's a horrible name for a website.
No, it's your friend.
I'm your online gambling pal. Give me your money.
See?
They have just transformed Michael Jackson's hair. They bought his hair on an online auction for over $10,000.
Yeah.
They got a lock of his hair. And they have turned it into a roulette ball.
What?
Oh, what? Come on.
Yep.
So you can, the ball that you, the, you don't even get to do that, do you, in roulette? That's the dealer.
That's the croupier, I guess, does that with the roulette wheel.
So I guess if you buy it, you just kind of just have it?
Well, they're trying to sell it to a casino.
Oh, I see.
So the casino say, come play our roulette because Michael Jackson's balls will be rolling around on our wheel.
Oh. It's not his balls, though. It's his hair, right?
Well, his hair turned into a roulette ball.
If it was his balls, I would go.
Yeah. They said it's an appropriately unique way to immortalize a small part of a truly peerless entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
Considering Jackson dedicated his life to entertaining millions, the prospect of this very special ball captivating crowds at roulette tables seems like a fitting use for it. So they're trying to sell this ball to a casino. Hopefully they would use that as a PR stunt. But his hair has been turned into a roulette ball.
Creepy.
That is creepy.
Sad.
That is sad.
It's weird that you could take somebody's body parts and use it as part of a carnival freak show and then try to spin it as being a tribute.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
I would. When I die, I would like to be skinned alive and turned into a deck of cards.
Okay. See if we can make that happen.
See, I'd like you to play blackjack with my flesh.
Right.
Can we see if that's possible? Maybe that's in the Chris Angel Mind Freak kit. Maybe that's one of the tricks.
Oh, I gotta go check that out.
Turn my skin into a deck of cards.
That's a crazy story.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bassist Cliff Williams of AC/DC, 62. Ted Raimi from Xena Warrior Princess turns 46. Beth Horton, 41 years old today. Actress and model Sophie Monk turns 32.
I believe it's Beth Horton.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Horton.
I apologize. I heard a who. I couldn't help myself.
Hey, we didn't have room for it.
Come on.
Put it in the file.
We're emptying the file out today. Aren't we cleaning out the file?
Yeah, I'm having to start a new one because we have too many. Put that in it.
Sophie Monk is 32 years old today, and Vanessa Hudgens, V-Hudge, as her friends call her, she is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 11 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Very controversial and contentious. Jay Moore joining us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show already. Nothing but complaints from Moore since he walked in the door.
That's my favorite Jay Moore is the contentious one.
Oh, well,
I'm
complaining
not,
about
not contentious.
Love it.
Complaining about my water. Complaining about Dave calling me on the way here. Complaining I didn't go to Acoustic Crisp. He's been here
Why
one
is Bean
minute.
Complaining
He's
like, so much. Here, no, here's what I said to Dave.
Okay.
Dave Martinez, the king of Mexico.
Sanchez, right, right.
Calls me. Whatever. Really?
Yes.
Dave Wong.
Okay.
Hey, Wang, it's a parking lot. Enough with the pictures, okay? All right. Hey, Wang, it's a private club. Don't tell him you're Jewish, okay? All right. Every Rodney joke in Caddyshack ends with, okay? All right. All right. It looks good on you, though, okay? All right. He calls. So I'm supposed to be here at 7:04.
Right.
6 a.m., I get a call from Dave on my cell phone. And I don't answer because I'm like, this person's retarded.
Right, right.
Because I have a baby. I'm feeding the baby. The baby. By the way, the baby, apparently, he gets up at 4:30.
Uh-huh.
And then about 6:30, he falls asleep till 8. And I'm like, you know, I'm pinching him to keep, like, really? You creep? Why don't you just get up at 7?
Can't you give us another 3 hours?
At 4:30. Like, am I holding bait? Like, why? Are the grunion running? Are we going out for shad? It's dark out for another 2 hours.
I don't think babies care.
Doesn't care. Yeah. He is ready to hit the streets. He's laughing.
Is that right?
He's delightful. He's beautiful and hilarious. And you're like, you're so cute. But oh my God.
I could have used a couple more hours.
If you didn't have a mom, I would close these doors and just leave you. Because you know that happened. He was crying so bad. I was on the road someplace. And he was crying and crying. And finally my wife came in because I had to get up and do radio the next day. And my wife comes in holding the baby. And she goes, it was about 3 a.m. She goes, I can't. This is just crazy. I'm going crazy.
Uh-huh.
And so I go, okay, I got it. No, I wasn't doing radio. I could sleep in that day. It was
okay.
I don't want to lie. I make this up. So I get the baby. My wife comes in. It's 11 a.m. And she goes, hon? I go, yeah. She goes, wow. How long have you guys been sleeping? I go, the whole time. And she goes, oh, where is he? I go, what? She goes, where's the baby? I go, oh, he's in his car seat in the bathroom. And she goes, what? You can't do that. And you go in there in the bathroom, and there's a baby. He was 3 months. He's just got tear stains.
Oh.
And he just slouched in his car seat like he just gave up.
I thought you meant he wasn't crying. He was happy he was sleeping, but you just couldn't hear him.
No, I just went in and closed the door,
wow.
And it was like, well, what
Jay.
Am I? Why should we both be up, right? If I'm not healthy, if daddy ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy right now.
Right,
and she goes, you can't do that. That's like child abuse. I go, well, that car seat is to, withstand, like, T-bone collisions. I don't think somebody's going to pick up the Ramada and shake it. He's never been safer than right now. And
yeah.
I just slept great.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'll watch him tonight. I said, okay. It's like perfect dad behavior.
You just have to train your wife that you're not responsible, and then it gets you out of a lot.
It's a lot like the Army. If you pick a job that's hard, like cleaning toilets, and you're good at it, bad move.
Correct, yes.
Just, you want to be the guy painting the curb.
Right.
Get a nice sun on your back.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Dave Martinez, what's his name? Dave what?
Sanchez. Still
Garcia.
Sanchez, right?
He calls me at 6 a.m. He calls me at 6 a.m. Then he texts me while I'm driving. He says, you close, Holmes?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he puts in that air of, like, you know, we're buddies, right? I know I'm bugging the hell out of you, but you know we're pals. We close, Holmes? And I go,
that's what he calls everybody who's his friend.
I'm at Fairfax and Venice.
Mm-hmm. Which is very, very close.
Yeah, but there's that line of cars making that left, and there's buses dropping kids off to go to community college.
Right, right.
And I go, yeah, I'm at Fairfax and Venice. 60 seconds. Are you here? I go, I'm at Fairfax and Venice. Then another minute goes by, and this is the passive-aggressive one that gets me nuts. He just texts, you're the man. Which is really code for, are you here?
Right.
They're all over me.
Why are you not here yet?
So I write back, I know. And then he goes, where are you? Chip's outside waiting for you. I come in, I go, Dave, you call me and text me five times. He goes, I called you once. And I go, take out your phone. He goes, look, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. He texts without knowing it, Dave does.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is. Well, he's just trying to do a good job, but you're right. You are reliable, and you said you were going to be here, and you were here. And Jay Moore is in town over the holidays and is appearing at the Irvine Improv. You're going to be on stage tomorrow night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night?
That's correct, and we just added a show Three shows Saturday, man.
Wow.
We're going to do an 11 o'clock.
Terrible.
Check this out, you drunks.
That's got to be terrible.
No, it's great.
What are you, crazy?
By 11 o'clock, you have no idea what you've already said, so it's a madhouse. You just go, what's your name? Where are you from? All right! And they're all just sitting there going, slamming! Drew Walker! I'm getting everybody pregnant!
Yeah, you must get a lot of people who make demands on your comedy. Stuff they've heard before.
The trick is I'll go out and open with like Tracy and Walker. And then they're just at a loss for words.
Dude, like, I don't
know. Now what does he do?
I don't know what else he does.
And then but the problem is I'm on stage going, now what do I do?
you got the Rodney Dangerfield chunk to fall back on now.
Wang. It's a parking lot, okay? All right.
All right.
Do you have a photographic memory?
I heard that you
did. I don't be didactic or... No, I don't.
You close.
It's very close, because I heard you say it on your podcast.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, because I feel...
I think Barry Katz said it on my podcast. I did not say it.
I feel a lot like I get about one out of every five references, and I wish I got more, but I don't, and you can quote a movie line from any movie that's ever existed.
You do have an amazing memory.
It's ridiculous.
Just admit it.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Let's go on a date.
On a date?
I'm just kidding.
All right. Me and Muggs, and it's UFC beard. What's with the UFC beard, Muggs?
Throw it out. It's winter, man.
Oh, so that's going to keep your stupid face warm?
It's going to keep him warm.
I got to keep my stupid face warm. It's his playoff beard.
We have to take a break. Jay Moore is here.
7:04. Dave.
It's not 7:04 now.
It's 7:19 now.
Dave Valenzuela got me in here right on the button.
Irvine Improv.
Did you hear my
buy your tickets.
Done grinding?
To see Jay Moore on stage. More with our guest after this on the Kevin and Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I just put on my headset and listened to the end of that Acura commercial.
That was Paradise by Coldplay.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah. Thanks.
I went to Coldplay at, Hollywood Bowl.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good. You get, you know, juiced up and, you know, smoke a little, right. Have a good time with your friends. Mm-hmm. It's about 60 minutes go by and you go, it's the same song. There's like an hour of like, and it was like, if they find us now.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. How much of that is due to Coldplay playing songs that sounds alike? How much to your highness?
100% Coldplay.
How much to how high you were?
Because when I go see the Black Crowes that way, I'm right into the jam band. I remember seeing U2 twice on, not Elevation, the one after that, Vertigo.
Right.
And for some reason, it was... It was Larry Mullen's the drummer's birthday,
right.
And they were drunk, and they just turned into a garage jam band.
Love
and
it.
No one's ever seen U2 not just bang out the hits, and when they did The Fly, they did like a 14-minute Dickie Betts Allman
wow.
Brothers version of The Fly, and I remember looking at my wife and looking at my buddy Charlie going like, this is like, you never see the edge, just like jam.
No, that's right.
It's all like pedal, next.
Yep.
And it was The Edge and Adam Clayton, and everybody was just so sauced, and
That's awesome.
That was the night they brought those girls up on stage to play, like they just brought people out of the audience to play a song.
That's awesome.
That is.
I
awesome.
Look at a lot of music. I asked that stupid idiot, the Peruvian guy, Dave.
He's king of Mexico.
Dave Martinez.
Yeah,
Sanchez.
I go, who was the best? Like, what's the best concert you ever saw? And he goes, Kanye West and Jay-Z was one of the. I go, you are a moron. Don't ever talk to me again.
Are you kidding? That was a great show. I went.
I go, got coffee in my cup with my black sweatshirt. Gonna drink it up so I can be alert. Like, boom. Like, that's what homeless people do at the Promenade for change. And you're putting it up there with Jane's Addiction at the Ritz in 1992.
They were genius.
Are you being serious?
I am.
You really like?
I really like
Kanye.
That show.
I like Jay-Z.
I like Kanye as well.
I got Jay-Z in my shuffle, like when I run.
Right.
But I just can't. A rap show. First of all, the ticket said, all right, last rap show I went to was KRS-One in Long Beach. And the ticket says doors open at 7.
Yeah.
So I say, you know what? We'll get there at 9. That way, we won't stand around. That prick came out at 1 o'clock in the morning. And you're so high that if he came out at like 10,
right.
Everything would have worked out perfect.
Sure.
But at 1 o'clock, you're just standing there asleep at the wheel. You've locked your knees up just so you can stand. Like, there's no seats.
And your buzz is pretty much gone by then.
Every rapper that ever drove past Long Beach has been on stage spitting freestyle verse on my blue countertop. It's for Micah, United States of America. My cousin's name is Micah. And you're like, like, wow, that's some crazy ass beats you got there, my man. Little crooked eye. I like that, Playboy.
Jay, this is the voice of Jay Moore. He didn't give me the opportunity to say that. So people the last 8 minutes have been going, who's this guy on Kevin and Bean? Jay Moore is appearing at the Irvine Improv Thursday through Sunday. Look, here's what I'm going to say to you,
so
Jay.
Wait, where am I?
You're the Irvine Improv, Thursday through Sunday.
You wouldn't talk while he says it. It would be easier.
I have an impulse control problem, okay,
yes,
Kevin?
Yes, you do. Here's what I'm going to say to you, Jay, and I'm a longtime rock guy, and I've seen virtually all of the great rock bands that have, yes, you know, that have been touring since I've been alive. And Jay-Z is one guy that I can say I put his level of entertainment, his level of commitment, his level of swagger on stage. I put him up there with the Bruce Springsteens of the world in terms of just energy and excitement and drama,
yeah,
and tension. I mean, the guy is a master showman. And if you haven't seen him, I think I can understand. Most rap shows, I think, are pretty disappointing.
Have you seen Jay-Z?
No.
There are some entertainers that will blow you away. Eminem is another one, by the way, who you just can't take your eyes off the guy. He's unbelievable. Yeah, he's a rapper, but he's phenomenal.
What instrument does he play?
He doesn't have to play an instrument.
See, what? What
instrument does Bono play?
Bono,
you know, he plays a little bit
God.
Of guitar.
He plays God.
Do you know the difference between Bono and God? God doesn't walk around Dublin pretending he's Bono. You know, just last year, you ever go see U2? It's like become way too altruistic, and like the handouts for the world unity, and we've erased a third of Africa's debt. It's like,
I think
really
they're trying to accomplish something.
I just drove past 14 homeless people to get to Mile High Stadium to see you. They got a giant stage, that 360 tour.
Oh,
they made $800 million. If they didn't have that set up, they would have made $1 billion.
Yeah.
Hold on, Bean. Let me finish this. So, Jesus, Bean.
All he did was breathe.
I know, but I can't. Mouth breathing into the mic.
You can tell when Bean's ready
to say
something.
He's about to jump and tell me how great the replacements are next.
No, I was going to say that I saw you two in a 1,200-seater on the October tour, and I thought it was the greatest show that I'd ever seen in my life. And they are one of the all-time
Until
great
Jay-Z.
Rock bands. I'm not taking anything away from you two. They're a phenomenal live act. I'm just saying there are some rap acts that are comparable to the greatest rock acts of all time. I think it has evolved to that point.
I shows how much you listen, because I was just about to slam you two.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Bean's done, you know, going on and waxing poetic, trying to get the urban audience to dial in.
Don't pout.
No, I'm a good pouter.
It's not pretty, Jay.
Let me tell you something, pal. So you two has that giant crab thing on stage. They got,
yes,
like transformers having people switch seats, you know,
right,
just like launching people. They got a catapult. Like, it's going crazy. Then, like, Nelson Mandela Skypes in from South Africa.
Right.
Like, I want to thank everybody for coming to the U2 concert. And then Vinyl will go, you know, last year, our next guest was in a jail in Burma. And you're like, Burma, like aftershave? Like, Burma's a cunt? Like, what? And then you realize I did 3 mushroom caps and I had 6 beers and 2 joints in the parking lot. Now I'm in jail, Bono. Wait, who said jail? Bono said it, so it must be true. And they bring this lady out who's now like the president of Burma, who used to be in jail, and she waves, and we're all supposed to go like, hey, it's a myth. How many homeless people did the Bono motorcade roll through to get to Sun Devil Stadium or to get to Staples Center to have, you know, Ayn Rand of Burma come out and wave to everybody? I'm sure the guy outside the, you know, St. Monica's Church holding a cup with an eye patch could use a Bono handout. Why don't you go on stage with have a team of advanced U2 people, get 100 homeless people from your next city, clean them up, get them jobs, get them inoculated, get them an eye, get the eye patch over the right eye, get them, take that stupid flag off the wheelchair, there's no way you're that patriotic.
Right.
And then come out on stage when they're like regular people and say, you know, just last year, the homeless population, but thanks to your help with the Stop Homelessness in America campaign,
right,
we pay for you too. There is not one freaking black person in the audience at a U2 concert. Hey,
what's
Bono,
happening?
Let me finish. Bono, why don't you lay off Africa? Africa doesn't care about Bono. I've never seen a guy in a dashiki in row F at a freaking U2 show going, who's to say where the wind will take you? Who's to say what the days will break you? I don't know.
And then Richard Pryor's next to him going, man, just funk. Just funk. Just had a funk about him.
So Bono's not doing enough. That's what I'm taking away from this
Bono's
talk here.
No, Bono's doing it in the wrong direction. Think globally, act locally. What about the home? Like Oprah opens a school in Africa. Open a school in Compton. You're in Chicago. Go to Cabrini Greens and make it so the cops can drive through without getting your tires shot out, Oprah. And by the way, Oprah's the greatest human being that ever lived. I don't want to
Ladies
be on record.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Jay Moore, right here.
I'd be great
on the
at
show.
I agree. I'd be like Nixon and Truman. The way to be a good president is to avoid Congress and worry about the legalities later. Nixon was actual crazy person.
Right.
Whereas Truman was like an old St. Louis guy. Like, I'm tired of talking about it, Kevin. That's all there is to it.
Like in the Korean, I don't think you can get away with that Truman. Anymore, though.
Yeah, you have. In Korea, thank you, sweetie.
Do you get a lot of call for Truman?
Do Truman! Jay, your dog has no tail, and I can't stand for it no more, and that's all there is to it.
I'm going to yell that out at the improv this weekend. Do the Truman Chuck.
Like you're leaving your basement after your Suits marathon.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Irvine Improv. Buy tickets to see the hilarious Jay Moore. And don't forget, three big nights on Saturday. That last show on Saturday is going to be incredible.
It is,
I can guarantee
you
that.
I'll be so drunk.
More with Jay right after this on the Kevin DeBee. That's a band called Linkin Park is who that is, Jay Moore. Yes, we have to dump it. Jay Moore is here on the Kevin DeBee Show. Jimmy Kimmel joins us next hour, by the way.
Oh, yes, man. Jimmy Kimmel there, you know. Oh, my God. Yeah, I was at 12:30 in the middle of the night, you know?
Right.
That's a tough time slot when you're up against gold.com infomercial. Hey, look at this coin here. It's got the American Eagle on one side and the Trade Tower on the other. Yeah, it's, I don't know if you know this about this coin or not. It's worth $4,000. But right now, we'll give it to you for $9.
All right, thank you, Norm McDonald.
You got to call right away. See that clock in the corner there that's on every time the commercial's on, huh? Yeah, I got a call. That's a good coin right there.
I thought it was Jay Moore. Apparently, Norm McDonald is appearing at the Irvine Improv Thursday through Sunday. Tickets on sale now. Jimmy Kimmel will be here, and Santa Carl will be talking to the children next hour. Hey, I did have to ask you, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Because since the last time we spoke to you, all this Alec Baldwin nonsense was in the news with him, and you're a celebrity.
The
biggest, right.
Hey, I just got a movie with Steve Carell. Remember he called in and said nice things about me?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's doing a movie called Burt Wonderstone where he's a magician.
Fantastic.
Him and Steve Buscemi are a magician team.
Love it.
Wow,
and
what
then
a team.
Burt and whatever the other Steve Buscemi's name is in the script. I only read my parts. So
what's your part? Is it
I'm Rick the Implausible. I'm like a failure. Like I just keep trying. And it's just like one scene. But I had to audition a bunch of times. And
that sounds awesome.
I'm the guy like, you know, like, how's it going? And like, even though it's horrible, I go, great, great. You know, I'm still in the casino. They got me doing the 2 to 2:15 shift Tuesday through Wednesday. It's pretty great, man. You know, that casino work, like the guy that just never will say things are poor.
Yeah.
And Steve Carell, people, I guess, at the studio were like, well, let's just keep looking. And Steve Carell said, I'm going to work right now. That's the guy. This is a crazy conversation.
No kidding.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
Wow, that's fantastic. Cool.
That gives you a little.
That's great. And he, by the way, has turned into such an incredible actor. Did you see him in Crazy Stupid Love? He's just terrific.
He was so good. He made me. I watched him more than I watched Ryan Gosling, and I approach every Ryan Gosling movie as like acting school, like just studying Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
He's so good. You could tell he was a dancer. Yeah. That sounded pretty gay.
Yes, it did. So my question to you
was, gay, I mean
though,
happy.
Happy, of course.
What's your take on celebrities like Alec Baldwin who think, hey, I'm Alec Baldwin, I'm on 30 Rock, I don't have to turn off my phone and oblige by the FAA regulations?
Yeah, you just have to turn off your phone. There's just no way around it.
Right,
I don't know why I don't know why any human being is awake on an airplane. I don't understand. As much, like,
well, maybe it was a short flight or something.
No, L.A. to New York?
Yeah. Well, New
hour
York.
And a half, tops. Sometimes 2 hours, depending on the causeway. Causeway? But I don't, like, when I'm, like, my wife cannot sleep on a plane. Like, she'll buy 40, she's reading, like, Hola magazine. Like, she'll read everything in the world and just chew gum and read and chew gum and read. And I am, like, the second, she said, if I ever get insomnia, she's going to put an airplane seat in the bedroom. Because, like, I have to fight to stay awake by the time the breakfast comes. And maybe it's all the Xanax, but you know, no one tells you a Xanax bar is 10 Xanax. And then, you know, you're drooling over Denver. Anyway, but you know, gang, Don Rickles. Anyway, that's good. Ronnie's talking about Wang. Anyway. I was on a plane once and the lady came up to me and said, you're going to have to turn that off. And I said, okay. And then I was literally, what was I doing? I was doing something like that I had to do. Oh, I was setting my phone to my itinerary for when I landed in New York,
right,
so that when I turned it on, I was ready to go, so I wouldn't have to fiddle with it once I landed there.
Right.
And she came by. She goes, do we have a problem? And I knew at that moment, if I said, all I'm doing, I'm off the plane.
Yeah.
And I literally went, and I think it's just from like having a lot of coaches in your life and a lot of like mean teachers. Do we have a problem? And I just went, no. That's it.
That's not what you want to say, but you know what the situation is.
But that's her job.
She
wins. Her whole gig.
Yeah.
And the only reason they don't want you to have it on is so you can see them wave their arms and do YMCA with the life vest.
That's true.
How humiliating is that, like, when you just got to stand there and just everyone is just in front of you, they're just looking down.
Attention.
Yeah, they're just reading. Yeah. Girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
And you're like, and there's four exit rows. If you look to the side, that person will assist you. Please blow into the strap. Even though, this is the part I love, even though the mask does not inflate, you are still getting oxygen.
Right.
Bull S. Tell me, when you're on a flight and you're as Dennis Miller would say, you know, when I'm shoulder rolling at 600 miles an hour, the word lightly isn't in my vocabulary. If you're blowing into your oxygen mask and it's not inflating, mm-hmm, you're going to rip it off your son's face. It's like, give me that! Mine doesn't inflate!
It's more important that I stay alive.
You know what I do is I count how many seats before the exit in front of me,
mm-hmm,
and I count how many seats before the exit behind me.
Uh-huh. So you know which is closer?
So if it's pitch black,
right,
and we're in flames, mm-hmm, I go 1, 2, 3, make a right. Because if I'm ever in an air crash, I'm walking out. I'm telling you, right? I'm calling my shot.
Yeah. I'd like to suggest
I'm going to die in a plane crash. You guys are going to play that. I just said that like Colin Quinn all of a sudden.
I'd like to suggest that you don't have any choice in the matter, and you're going to do what I'm going to do, which is die.
Yeah. No.
That's the case.
I will not. I'm not dying in a fiery ball.
If the plane goes down, it doesn't matter.
You might be a redneck. If the plane goes down.
That little inflatable suit is not going to save you, dude.
You know, people always go like, why don't they just give all the passengers parachutes? You've heard that argument.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because you're going 600 miles an hour, and your stomach will fill with air and explode out your ass, for starters. That's why astronauts don't use them, because you're going 600 miles an hour. You would have to slow the crash down to a manageable 1G, and then eject, and keep your mask on. Oh, you're not wearing them? Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah.
Your eardrums rupture, and air would go and pop your eyes out
of
your face.
This is really
this is exciting.
Oh, why are you flying?
I am. I'm flying tomorrow.
Are you flying tomorrow?
And I don't really want to hear
anymore. Planes don't crash.
When a plane crashes in Brazil,
why is it number one story on our news? Because it's so like, oh my God, one went down? It's mathematically impossible.
I just, the visual of people jumping off of planes and their stomachs going through their butts. That's gross.
Where are you flying to?
I'm going to Costa Rica.
Oh, that's a bad one. What are you talking about? She's a drug mule. She's going to load up and come back.
I'm going to make a fortune.
It's the wind, and like that's a weird runway. It's a very short runway in Costa Rica. And
a lot of people don't ever make it. Yeah.
It's ocean and mountains smushed together. It's like landing in Singapore.
Weird wind, sheer stuff going on.
It's wind coming right at you.
Oh, no.
It's like when you come in from Vegas into Burbank and you start rattling around times 10.
Yeah. It's rare that a plane can even land in Costa Rica, I hear.
They just
drop their payload.
They crash so much in Costa Rica, they stopped reporting it on the news.
Thank you,
all right, listen. I hate to go out on everybody dies on that note, but
everybody
Jay Moore,
does die.
Right. At the Irvine
Everybody
Improv,
poops too, but we don't need to talk about it.
Was that an R.E.M. song?
Everybody poops.
Tomorrow night.
Too many
8
times.
O'clock. Two shows on Friday, 3 shows on Saturday, and then the cleanup show is going to be on Sunday. If you do nothing else that we've ever advised you on the Kevin and Bean show, it's see this man on stage in concert. Go to the Irvine Improv to buy those tickets. Jay Moore, happy holidays. Happy Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever it is you celebrate,
big
man.
Big
ups, we love
Jehovah to God, JC, Jigga, my you know what. What's up, homie? Kanye, stay in school, Ghostface, word him up, Wu-Tang, RZA the Resurrector, Jizza the Genius, all my peeps from North, the Bricks with the rats whoop your ass, Redman, Method Man, holla, yo, I'm pregnant, I'm out.
Also go to iTunes for more stories, which is a fantastic
podcast. Yeah,
do
that podcast. Also. All right.
Jimmy Kimmel, also Santa Carl, both next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on, dude?
Tim Moore and Kimmel, I really could have taken today off. I really could have.
Yeah, you probably could have.
Yeah. Same with us. Those guys are full-blown shows right in their own regard right there. Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some passes to a very cool event that's happening this Friday night. There's a documentary that is called Corman's World, Exploits of a Hollywood Rebel, which opens up this weekend here in Los Angeles at the New Art Theater and in New York City at the Village East Cinema. It is a documentary about Roger Corman, who has been making movies, for 60 years, that's all.
Just that long?
And has been responsible for launching the careers of people like Paul Anderson, Peter Bogdanovich, Robert De Niro, Peter Fonda, Pam Grier, Ron Howard, Eli Roth, Martin Scorsese, William Shatner, Jack Nicholson.
Wow.
These are some of the people that he got up and rolling in the movie business. The documentary, I got a chance to see it. It is fascinating. It's a great story about a guy who worked outside the Hollywood system and really created his own movie empire on his own terms.
Do they talk about his decision to put you in Sharktopus? Is that in the documentary?
Sharktopus is well, pretty much the whole documentary. It, you know,
as they, it should be.
They mention Scorsese and Bogdanovich and De Niro. They give them lip service, but sure. The documentary really is about Sharktopus.
As well as
because Roger, of course, was the producer of the classic film Sharktopus. At the New Art this Friday night at 7:30 screening, there's going to be a Q&A with Roger after the screening, and I will be the host of that Q&A. So we're going to be talking to Roger Corman about his life and about his career after we watch the movie. If you'd like to come and be my guest, I've got three pairs of passes to give away right now. 1-800-520-1067. First three callers who get through will be my guest at the New Art Theater on Friday, and we'll sit down and talk with Roger Corman, and, you know, we'll talk mostly about Sharktopus and the sequel and how do we bring Captain Jack back.
That's true. That
I think Captain Jack has a twin who is looking for revenge against Sharktopus.
It's Bobby!
Captain Bobby, that's right. This time it's personal. Bobby shows up on the open seas in his leather jacket, drunk, and is looking for the Sharktopus. So it's going to be a fascinating event. Hey, Bean, you didn't go to New York to see Scarlett Johansson when she was at the red carpet premiere of We Bought a Farm, right?
I did not.
Wait, you're the guy that paid $7,000, right?
Right, but
who is this sad, pathetic human? Bean!
Yeah, thank you, TMZ. I was not. I did not go. No,
that's a shame because Scarlett says her dream life is to have a farm away from Hollywood.
What? What?
It's her dream life.
What?
Farm or vineyard, livestock. She wants the whole rural experience. That's what her dream life would be.
Right, but with a normal dude.
I'm just saying. If anybody had a shot, it seemed like...
We would have had something to talk about at the premiere is what you're saying?
Like Bean the hippie would have a chance to, sway her a little bit.
But Bean wouldn't have talked to her about that. He would have talked to her about, I don't know, his microwave or something. Yeah.
Or maybe he just would have... Had her in his clutches like he did Rachel Nichols at Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah,
see that photo? That photo's good up in a post office. That's like a sexual predator website photo right there. Look out for this man in your neighborhood. Did she look terrified or what?
She was scared.
Yeah, she was scared.
It's so weird. Scarlett Johansson is the latest in a long line of people who intentionally moved to Hollywood to get into show business so that for the next 40 years of their life they can wish they hadn't and that they had a quiet private life in the rural setting.
What some celebrities do is they actually accomplish that.
They do both.
Move.
Yeah.
They're Harrison Ford. They get a ranch in Wyoming and just stay out of the limelight. It is possible to do.
All those people are Harrison Ford?
Yes.
That explains so much to me why he has no energy left. He's so many people. And Kendall and Kylie Jenner, these are the youngest of the Kardashian clan. Actually, they're not really Kardashians at all, are they? They're Jenners.
Well, they're half.
Chris Jenner's.
Oh, I guess
Chris
you're right.
Jenner's the mom, but Bruce Jenner is the sperm donor, as far as we know. He filled the turkey baster, as far as we know.
I thought they were like his grandkids or something. Isn't he like 70 and they're 15?
They are 15, but he's their dad. They have just launched their own line of jewelry and accessories.
Oh, thank God.
Because, you know, the girls really are fashion icons. Oh, wait a minute. Who are they? We've never seen them before.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can buy them through a company called Glam House.
That's what you're all getting for Christmas.
I'd rather see you with something called Grindhouse. That's where I'd like to see those two girls. And E! Apparently is developing a spinoff that will focus on the two girls. So, we are still living in a Kardashian world, people.
You know what they're not? Is pretty enough to be models, as
no,
they are always claimed to be.
They are not at all. Somebody say, oh, they're the most attractive. Not even close.
No.
No. Not to attack a 15-year-old girl's self-esteem, but you ugly.
Overruled.
They're no porn star Kim Kardashian, that's all.
That's true. Yeah.
And real quickly, I feel bad for Anne-Marie Kennedy.
How come?
She is being persecuted by Facebook. And I don't think it's acceptable, and I think we should do something about it. Maybe when we get back from vacation next year, we can take a look at this. Facebook profile, they won't allow her to list her hometown on her profile.
What?
Because she comes from effin' Ireland. E-F-F-I-N, Ireland. And she keeps putting on her profile, I'm from effin' Ireland, and they keep taking it down, saying that she is using obscene language on Facebook.
That's not even a swear word.
No, it's a short term yeah. for a swear word, but in this case, it's not even doesn't represent that. It's a town called effin'.
So they didn't even look it up and see if
no,
there
they
was
didn't
a town?
Bother. Just wow. Oh, this woman's has a potty mouth.
Sweet,
this effin' Irish woman with her effin' Ireland, all talking about her effin' village. F her that effin' f.
Facebook pays really close attention to every word that gets posted, by the way. They're pretty
apparently they
pretty
don't.
Tough. They don't know about F in Ireland.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is the fact that they caught that and deleted it shows that they're, you know, they're really big brother in their site. What about people who live in Hell, Michigan? Are all of them out of luck, too?
Or Intercourse, Pennsylvania, for that
yeah,
matter.
Great point.
One of my favorite towns. Celebrity birthdays today. Cliff Williams of AC/DC, Ted Raimi from Xena Warrior Princess, Beth Orton. Sophie Monk and Vanessa Hudgens all celebrate their birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Jimmy Kimmel in moments here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. Also, Santa Carl later in the hour. Hey, DJ Omar Khan, how are you?
Good morning. What's happening?
DJ Omar Khan, by the way, maybe the hardest working guy on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's usually behind the scenes. He's the guy who puts together so much of the audio that we play here on the program. And one of his jobs that we just love so much about him is he's the guy who does the little intros for all of the features and games that we play.
Right.
And I don't know how you do it. I don't know how twice a week you go back in there and bang out a whole new song.
Yeah,
but most of them are horrible.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, I have limited time, so I throw something and whatever sticks, I go with. Type of deal, you know?
No. Does that make you happy, like at the end of the year when you're looking back? Do you go, that's a good way to do it?
You know, you know what? No, I would imagine not. Okay. You know? But we have low standards here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, we do.
The other thing that kind of handcuffs him is we give him a title of a game. So yeah. Now he's got to work with those words.
Yeah. Right. Like we're doing, let's say we're giving away pit tickets for Acoustic Christmas. We tell him, hey, Omar, tomorrow we're giving away pit tickets. The game is called Famous Pits. Go. And then he's got like 20 minutes to come up with something and record it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But some of them really turn out pretty, I'm pretty proud of some of them. But not
many.
Yeah.
But not many.
But not many. Yeah. For sure. But some of them I think, oh, yeah, that's pretty good work. You know?
So at the end of the calendar year, what we like to do is look back and count down top tens from our show. And this one is the top 10 Omar intros of 2011. So this will be fun for everybody because I'm sure there are some of these you haven't heard. What's up at number 10?
Number 10 is a game we titled Who is the Hero? And I'm sure we had tickets to world premiere of some sort of superhero movie.
Okay.
And Ralph is probably giving trivia and about superheroes. And there's a song by Bonnie Tyler, who I really hadn't heard the song at all.
Right.
Which is called Hero.
Okay. Holding Out for a Hero, right?
Holding Out for a Hero. And Ralph says, you got to use this song. I hadn't heard this song.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't let that stop me or my inability to sing stop me. So well,
that,
I came
you've
up
never
with this.
Let that stop
right,
me.
Check all it right. out.
Who is a hero? You got against the right hero to attend the night. You cannot be wrong and you got to kick ass. So now let's see if you can guess right. Who is a hero?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not bad.
It was bad.
I've heard a lot of his intros. That's not bad.
And the one thing I do realize with having this job is over the years, I'm actually getting a little tiny bit better at singing.
Nope.
Okay, maybe just in my head.
Number nine,
Famous Bloods. We had world premiere tickets to one of the Twilight movies.
Okay.
And, I don't know what it was, you know, Ralph was giving out clues about, you know, like True Blood would be an answer.
Right.
You know, Famous Bloods. And I don't know what kind of cowboy type delivery I'm doing here, but check this out.
Famous Blood, yeah, you know it's on. You'll go see Breaking, Breaking Dawn.
Part one.
Famous Blood.
See? So we have tickets to part two. We can use the same one.
Oh, good.
There you go. You know.
Number eight.
Number eight. Rap battle. This is going to show off some of my rapping skills, which I have none of. Mm. But we did a rap battle to Coachella tickets, and this is what I came up with.
Kevin and Means rap battle to the death. You rap till you run out of breath. So if you're the best rapper and nobody can stop you, you'll get tickets to Coachella. Ella, yeah.
Wow. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's funny.
That's I kind of like that.
Yeah,
I did.
Number seven.
At number seven, I didn't choose to do. I didn't come up with the title. I didn't come up with the song. We came up. We were giving away tickets to the Dead Man's Ball.
And they had Halloween party, right?
The Halloween party, uh-huh. And they had it was at LACMA, and they had Tim Burton exhibit.
Right. Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
So we
were props from all of his movies and things like that. Right.
So we were going to play Tim Burton clips of his movies, and Kevin and Ralph came up with the name The Genius of Tim Burton. And they're all like thinking, and I was in the studio pulling movie clips. I come out and they're all, you have to do a parody of Genie in a Bottle by Christina Aguilera. And I'm like, what? And they're all like, go. And I came up with this.
If you wanna go party, Kevin and Bean have one good way. It's the genius of Tim Burton. You gotta guess the right movie. If you
hey, you guys made me do that one.
Yeah, you were handcuffed from the beginning,
absolutely.
Dude.
Absolutely,
we handcuff him in every possible way.
Yeah, yeah. The genius of Tim Burton.
That's funny.
Number six
is something that I actually thought turned out pretty good. It was Famous Firsts because we had the first time you could win tickets to a Weenie Roast game.
Okay.
And you guys, after I made the intro, you guys said that I sounded like I had a stroke. I thought it was pretty good. Check it out.
Well, you want to go to the sold out Weenie Roast.
Sold out Weenie Roast.
All you got to do is guess the famous first now. See, because you're going to be the first one to win tickets. We're clever.
I love it.
Yeah, that's strokey.
Is it strokey?
I love it when Omar turns into a clown at a rodeo.
Yeah, right?
I am so excited about this next one. I remember this one. I'm still laughing about it.
Number five.
So Wiz Khalifa earlier this year had a huge song, Black and Yellow.
Yep.
And we do parody songs for the Ask Us series that we do here.
Mm-hmm.
So we did Ask Him Adam, and this is what I came up with.
Crazy fantasies, do you offer everything? Ask Him Adam, Ask Him Adam, Ask Him Adam, Ask Him Adam. How much money have you made from Kevin and Bean? Ask Him Adam, Ask Him Adam, Ask Him Adam, Ask Him Adam.
I thought that was pretty good.
That is good.
I did too.
Right?
I thought it was really good. Yeah. We are counting down the top 10 musical Omar intros of 2011 here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I think we're up to
number four.
That's right. Number four is Zack Attack, and you know, most of the time I do think all the stuff I do is horrible. You know, it's just like, you know, I have to judge by the reactions I get, if it's good or not.
Yeah.
And I got overwhelming response to this when you guys actually gave me really good props on the air because I did a pretty good Zach impression, and that was the game. The game, we had listeners call in and try to do their best Zach impression. We called it Zach Attack.
I'll sing like Zach, and don't be whack. Yeah. Tickets to the rising, and I think you like that. Sing like Zach, and don't be whack. This is the game we call Zach Attack.
Come on, that's not bad for you.
Yeah.
Hey, if he ever quits Rage again, man, they know who to call to fill in,
for
right?
Sure. Again,
number three.
A number three. I just actually did this one last week. It was the Beer Mug Top 10 interviews of all time.
Okay.
I got instant reaction from you guys. You guys thought it was awesome, and you guys actually.
This is
it
your rock opera, if I recall. This is your American Idiot, right?
Yeah. And at the time, I thought it was okay, but check it out.
When Beer Mug's on the case, he'll stick a microphone in your face. Questions he's got. Just yells, that is awesome. And when you think that is it, he says, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Beer Mug is such a stud. Oh no, I'm in, he's a dud. Top Beer Mug interview moments, let's go.
That is so
thank good. You, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, we only got two more.
Number two.
Now, on the opposite side of good, there is bad.
Right.
And then sometimes on the show, you could be so bad that it turns around to be great.
Right.
And I think that's what happened with number two.
We'll be the judge of that.
We did Ask an Ex-Hacker, and I did a parody of Train's Hey Soul Sister.
Okay.
Okay. let's play it first.
Hey, Ex-Hacker, we're going to ask her on the radio morning show. Can you hack and get me free porno? Hey, Ex-Hacker, we're going to ask.
That's only half of it, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah,
too
yeah.
long.
Absolutely.
What are you doing?
Absolutely. And that was the only time in the history of making intros that I ever came to Kevin and Bean and like, guys, I think we have a problem.
You should listen to this ahead of time.
Yeah, most of the time I'm like, go for it, guys, you know?
All right, well, we've heard 10 through 2. We're up to the number one Omar intro of 2011.
Number one in the USA.
Number one is Rhymes with Grohl. We did a Rhymes with Grohl. We were giving away Foo Fighter tickets, and it was hosted by Bob Dole. And I never got such a huge reaction from something that I really put together in maybe 20 minutes. And it's over the top. It's not really that greatly produced, but it's ridiculous. And I got overwhelming response. People were calling up the Afro line and doing parodies of it. They were. Check it out. This is what I did.
Rhymes with Grohl, Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl.
Yeah.
Rhymes with Grohl.
Yeah.
Rhymes with Grohl. Bob Dole.
Yeah!
It's time to play Rhymes with Grohl.
Yeah!
First of all, how stupid is it for us to bring out our Bob Dole impression in 2011?
Yeah, right?
And second of all, where did that Chewbacca dying sound come from, Omar?
I have no idea, but I wanted to throw some auto-tune on something.
That was
you
great.
Know? Yeah, exactly, dude.
That was
and
great.
And it came out really good.
Your top 10 Omar intros of 2011.
I'm the best.
Check that out. You're the best. Yes, that's true. Jimmy, come on. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 28 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
It actually is Jimmy Kimmel.
It's Jimmy Kimmel Live!
Why don't you let him do the announcing there,
Bean? We never have played that before.
You
we
guys
usually
will
bring
figure
the other
it out.
Thing.
Yeah,
eventually, right. We've known this a long time. We won't.
What's
Jimmy
going on?
Kimmel is live here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And
barely.
You told us something very strange as you walked in, James.
What's
and
that?
It was these words. And again, a reminder, Jimmy's been on our show dozens of times over the years. And in fact, he used to work here.
Right. Worked here for 5 years.
Worked here for right. 5 years.
He walks in, he goes, sorry I'm late, guys. I got lost coming to the building.
I did get lost. I wound up at HD Buttercup, that store, and on the blog. And
oh,
I heard
yeah,
something,
you went ways.
Something was wrong, yeah. I don't know
did
what it is about
right
me. I have no sense of direction, and I have the GPS in my car, and I said, I don't need to put the address in. I've been there a million times.
But you should know about yourself. You should be self-aware enough to know that you're going to get lost.
Sometimes I like to challenge myself.
I see.
But
how'd that work out?
I wound up getting very nervous because I heard the break ending, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be late. I don't like to be late. So I drove over the median with a policeman to the right. I kind of gave him a look
sweet.
To make sure. I drove over the median.
I love it.
Right into the parking lot.
I do that every morning.
Do you really?
Yeah, because there's no one there, so you might as well.
Yeah, I did that. So,
oh, my God.
Here I am. Isn't that amazing?
Nicely done.
I risked my life to be here today.
But, Jimmy,
and the lives of others.
Now that you're a big-time celebrity with millions of dollars, resting on your shoulders with your late-night TV franchise, don't you have to, like, think, okay, do I want this in the paper? Do I want to be on Access Hollywood tonight being talked about? Was Jimmy Kimmel drunk at 8:30 in the morning? I mean, is it worth the risk, really?
Who cares, really?
Do you not know Jimmy?
I guess not.
I mean, he's never had that thought in his
How
life.
How many times have you guys seen me naked? I mean, really.
Way too many. Way I know many. That.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember the first day I came to work here at this radio station when you guys were unaware that I'd been hired, and I showed up for work.
And we walked into
which
a room.
Which is amazing that you come in and no one knows you've been hired.
And we walked into a room, and he was the only one in there, and we were like, hey.
I never has my heart sunk farther than it did that moment. But I walked, because I'd moved out here from Tucson, Arizona, and I walked into the studio. I left at like 2:30 in the morning just to make sure I got to the station on time, going from North Hollywood to Burbank.
Right.
Like maybe 3 miles. I somehow wound up in downtown L.A. And I had the directions written out. I'd driven the route just to make sure, but I didn't count on the dark. And I wound up on Skid Row in downtown L.A.
Oh, what time did you leave?
I left at around 2:30.
And you didn't count on the dark.
I had not thought about the dark.
All right.
And then I got here just in time for the show. I got here at like 5:20 or something.
Unbelievable.
When I was planning to be hours early. I'm an idiot.
Did you bring a hobo?
I did not.
Has that always been a problem of yours? Always? Like, you're
yes.
this guy? Is it that you just, because my guess is you just are thinking about something else and you're singing a Huey Lewis song or whatever F you do.
Yeah, sure.
And just not humming. Paying attention.
Well, that probably is why, but I have to say, since I got GPS, it's given me this false sense of confidence.
Yeah.
But when I walk out of an elevator, I don't know which way, my car is.
Exactly that way.
So I sometimes stay in the elevator for hours and hours at a time.
Just hoping bring your car up.
Jimmy, if this will make you feel any better, Kevin spent 30 minutes in a parking lot two nights ago trying to find his car after the Jay-Z Kanye show.
First, we had Saturday's acoustic, then Sunday's acoustic, and then I went to Jay-Z Kanye at the Staples Center on Monday night. And I wasn't feeling well. I was kind of sick, and I left, and I couldn't for the life of me find my car. And I was miserable. And I was doing the thing where you put your hand on your key to try and get it to light up or get the siren to go on or whatever it is you're doing, you know, and no sign of it. I walked around for a half an hour.
Do you remember you and I walked around for 90 minutes after the USC-UCLA game, which turned out to be one of the greatest games of all time? There's some huge comeback. We missed entirely because we're out in the parking lot trying to find the car.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. Hey, listen, Jimmy Kimmel is here on the
Kevin
Bean Show.
These are great stories.
And I do want to mention, if you have not yet caught wind of the I Gave My Kid a Terrible Present YouTube challenge, you slayed it for Halloween when you had parents all over America sending in the video of them telling their children that they had eaten all of the Halloween candy that they'd gotten the night before. And it was so successful. Now you're doing it for what? For people giving terrible Christmas gifts, right?
Yeah, we had these parents. We asked them to give their kids a bad present intentionally and say, here's an early present. It's the best present. I wanted you to have this before the holidays.
Why do you
and
do
the kids
this?
Open the
so
presents.
Mean.
I don't know. You know what? I have to say, I really don't think it's mean. I know people go like, oh, it's mean, but I grew up being tormented by my mother and then tormenting my own children.
Sure.
My mother used to pretend to be dead. She would lay on the floor and she'd just pretend to be dead until my sister and I, and we'd be hitting her on the head, trying to get her to wake up, and she just lay there. She was very good at pretending to be dead until we started crying, and then the only way she'd come to life is when she couldn't take it anymore and started laughing.
Oh,
so maybe I had a weird upbringing, but to me it seems, I don't know, it seems harmless like that.
Were you serious when you did it at Halloween and you said, I thought we would get more?
I did. I thought it would be more anger than crying.
And they were crying like crazy because the parents had to tell the kids they ate all their candy.
Aww.
It was awesome. It was really
kids
so
love candy.
Sad. Jimmy, what kind of schedule are you on today? Do you have to leave and go someplace, or can you stick around for a while?
Yeah, I can stick around. I have a dentist appointment at 9:15, but otherwise I'm here.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we better ask you to pull your guest in from the hallway then. I know that you did come with somebody here, and I want to make sure
Do you carpool or what? How does that? Why?
I hadn't figured that out yet. But did you want me to go get him? Or?
Yeah. Well, would you please?
Okay.
Just grab him real quick in the hall so we can say hello, and then we can sell for phone calls.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh.
Santa Carl.
Oh, look at this.
Tammy here.
Lisa,
oh,
this
right?
is a great holiday right now. It's good to see y'all right now.
The great to have you here.
Karl Malone got lost coming over here.
Did he too?
Karl Malone.
What?
Yep. Karl Malone BPS weren't working, and he got all mixed up, and he came in the wrong place.
I don't know if you guys remember when the NBA was on a strike, not this time, but last time, and Karl Malone.
Lockout.
And Karl Malone was doing sports talk radio in Southern California, and we were obsessed with it. And that's when we became friends with Karl.
Not strike, lockout. Right. NBA lock players out.
Right.
It's fine now.
That's right.
Well, listen, Santa Carl, I know this is the busiest time of the year for you.
That was a lockout.
Okay. Yeah, it was a lockout. Right? But you're very kind to take time away from the toy making and come into K-Rock. And we are going to invite the little kids to call right now if they want to talk to Santa Carl. What age are you looking for this year, Santa Carl?
Santa Carl looking for age 4, 5, 6, 7, not 8.
Not
8. 8
too old. 8 is too old. Okay.
3 too young. Because Karl Malone don't want to be talking no baby talk with nobody. Karl Malone, Santa Claus, won't talking little kids, but kids who know what they want for Christmas time.
Okay, so parents, if you're out there, help us.
Dial up their phone.
Hurt your kids. 1-800-520-1067.
Come on now.
Have them call in, and they can talk to the great Santa Carl when we come back.
Glad
to have you, Santa Carl.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus for the boys and girls. He's got a sleigh full of toys and goodies and a bag of squirrels. He don't care who the children are, he loves them all the same.
So be glad and don't be sad when Santa screws up your name.
What? Come on now.
Santa Claus.
That's good. That's a good song right there.
That is good.
Did you not keep going this long?
That Santa Claus favorite song. Every year, Santa Claus love coming in with Kevin and Bick and Tammy and hearing all them songs. That's a good song right there.
Santa Carl, before we go to the children at 1-800-520-1067, you haven't mentioned it, but are you still hunting and shooting and eating squirrels? Is that still part of your life?
What the hell? Well, Santa Carl always going to be hunting and shooting and eating squirrel, but not just squirrel, chipmunk.
Mm-hmm.
Albin and the chipmunk, right. Santa Claus eat that whole family up.
Good.
Also, groundhog, prairie dog, little ground squirrel. Sometimes Santa Claus will shoot to eat a poodle.
What?
No.
You know, just don't want to eat people.
Sometimes
dogs.
Santa Claus get real hungry.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's a fancy little dog.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Who do you want to talk to first, Santa Claus?
Well, Santa Claus loves to talk to kids first.
All right. Okay. All right. Then why don't we start with let's start with Brooklyn. Little Brooklyn is 4 years old, Santa Carl, and she's calling us on line two to talk to you.
Oh, hello. Hello, Brooklyn.
Hold on. Let me give Brooklyn the phone. Brooklyn.
Oh, well. Brooklyn sounds like she got a adult voice right there.
No, that was her mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hi, Santa.
Well, hello, little Boogin.
Brooklyn.
Boogin. Okay. How old are you today, little boy or girl?
4.
4 year old? Okay. And have you been a good little boy or girl this year?
I'm a girl.
Okay. And have you been a good girl this year? Have you done all kind of good thing?
Yes.
Okay. And have you been cleaning up your room and keeping all tidy?
Okay.
And what could Santa Claus bring down your chimney on Christmas Day?
Okay. I want a lot of Lucci.
What?
I want a lot of Lucci.
You want a what?
A lot of Lucci.
What the hell is that, a Lala Lucci?
Is that a doll?
It has curly hair.
Has curly hair. So it sounds like a doll, Santa Carl.
Oh, Lala Lucci have a curly hair. Is that a doll?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's not a sex doll, no?
She's 4.
Well, Santa Claus don't know. First get on, have an adult voice. Second get on, say, Lala Lucci.
No,
Santa Claus don't know.
A little girl wants a doll, Santa Claus. Come
okay.
on.
Okay, well, Santa Claus going to bring Lala Lucci and some Papa Poopy in Lala Lucci diaper when Santa Claus bring down the toilet for the chimney. Okay? Okay.
Merry Christmas, Boogaloo. Brooklyn. Thank you.
Boogaloo, it's good talking to you.
All right.
Okay.
That's a cute kid right there. Yeah.
Let's try Shale.
Shale, what the hell?
You know, Santa Claus don't know what the hell going on with these hair name with these kids.
Yeah.
Shale. What? Shale? Santa Claus sometime get on out on his land in Arkansas and drill down deep and he hit on Shale. But he ain't going to hit on this Shale because he's a little kid.
4.5 years old.
Shale. Yeah.
Hi, Shale.
Hi.
Shale. You, how old are you, Shale?
4.5.
And what the hell are you? Boy or girl?
Girl.
You're a girl? Okay. Now, what could Santa Claus bring down your chimney on Christmas?
A dinosaur stuffed animal.
Now, that's a cute thing right there. Shale want dinosaur stuffed animal because sometimes boy want dinosaur and sometimes girl want Barbie doll, Lala Lucci,
right.
That kind of thing.
Right.
But that's a whole thing right there. This girl could turn out to be a lesbian.
No reason to say something like that, Santa Carl.
Santa Carl basing this on,
on what?
Her choice of toy.
She just likes dinosaurs. Dinosaur. All kids like dinosaurs.
That's how it all starts right there. That's how it starts.
Oh, Santa Carl.
You've identified that as
Rosie
a turning point?
Rosie McDonald loved... When Rosie McDonald were little girl, Rosie McDonald loved dinosaur, brontosaurus burger, all that right
Shale's
there.
Shale's still on the line.
Oh, Shale.
I am uncomfortable with this line of questioning.
You know what, Shale? Santa Claus going to bring whatever the hell you want. You know, there's a lot of things for little girls like you. Dinosaur, power tool, all sorts of things. Santa Claus going to bring you everything you need this year, okay? Okay, Shale gone.
Okay, thank you, Shale. Thank you very much for calling.
No way, Shale went.
I think mom pulled her away from the phone when she probably. Heard the word lesbian, is my guess.
Yeah, probably right, not. That probably did that. You know what, Big? That's probably true.
Maybe so. All right, let's try Nolan. Nolan is on line one, Santa Carl, and Nolan is a little boy. I'm telling you in advance so you don't have to ask. Okay?
That's good for Santa Carl to know. Hello there, Nolan. Hello.
It's Nolan.
Hello, how old are you today, little boy or girl?
Six.
Six? Okay, and what can... Have Nolan been a good boy for Christmas this year?
Only been chocolate, for example.
What the... You know what? No, sound like Nolan got a whole mess of marble in his mouth right now.
Because oh, it sounds like he does, huh?
Santa Claus can't understand.
Me either.
What? Now, Nolan, making noises.
Nolan, say what you want again, please.
Nolan, Santa Claus need to hear what you need for Christmas. What the hell? Sound like Nolan need to go to the hospital right now. Nolan need a flu shot. That's what Nolan need. That's a dang thing. Kids spreading all germs. Kids dirty. You know, Santa Claus have 9 or 10, maybe 11 kids himself right now.
You don't know?
Carl Jr., Carlito, little Carlos. Santa Claus got a whole bunch of kids. And, oh,
you
what happened?
Ask Nolan what he wants.
Yep. Well, Nolan, what did you want for Christmas this year?
Couldn't understand.
Okay, we get you a box of Kleenex for Christmas right here. And cover your mouth, because you're a dirty little boy.
Okay. I don't know if you want to tell him that.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think we may be out of time this year, Santa Claus. I'm afraid we might be. That might be all the time we have.
What did Kevin a big one for Christmas this year? You know what Santa Claus want for Christmas this year? Hmm. Santa Claus don't usually ask for gifts, but Santa Claus want him one of them Kardashians. For Christmas right now. But Santa Claus liked the big one, Clucky Kardashian.
You like Clucky?
That's the one Chloe Santa Claus wants. He loved that one. And you know what? Lamar Odom going off, he leaving and going to Texas.
Yeah.
Santa Claus stay home and he keep that Clucky Kardashian real warm.
I can see you two together. It's a great combination. That's a fantastic idea.
That'd be good.
And Clucky's pretty cool. So I think.
Yeah, Clucky got it all going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Santa Carl has been on the Kevin and Bean Show
once again this year.
Merry Christmas, Santa Carl.
Have a great, you know what? Y'all have a great 2012.
You too, son.
We will.
Yeah, and Santa Claus come back next year.
Yes.
Okay. And talk to all the little kids. Okay, then. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Bye, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus going home to the North Pole.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus for the boys and girls.
106.7
Hey!
It's KROQ.
It's Kevin. Last Hey, 2011.
Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56. Ralph is here with the second to the last showbiz beat of the day of the year on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about Santa Carl, by the way?
I love Santa
Carl. Never ceases to make me laugh and yet sad at the same time.
It is kind of sad to think about the kids and how damaged they are as a result of their one encounter with Santa.
I worry about the parents. I don't care so much about what Santa Carl does.
The kids will forget
about
blame
the kids. The parents need to take a long, hard look at themselves.
Parents are making some bad choices.
Same thing with people who are making those videos for that Jimmy Kimmel over there in his program. Yeah. With the candy, Jimmy, and the presents and children crying. And
see, but Jimmy's right. Like, when he grew up, that's how he grew up.
And look what happened to him.
Look what happened to him. He's great.
Yes, he's great.
I'm just saying.
He's successful. But inside, dead.
You think he's dead? So, Ralph, dead in a couple inside. Of years, when Olivia is old enough, you would not allow her to get on the phone with Santa Claus.
Hell to the no.
So, okay. So yes?
No!
No.
Oh. I'm going to protect her from all of you people to the best, as much as humanly possible.
Come on. You won't even give her a radio.
This is, no.
This is a positive.
What do you do for a living, Daddy? I just go somewhere and do something with some people. That's all you need to know. Here.
Can I meet them?
No.
No.
Here.
Have some candy.
Use your car or a college tuition, whatever you need. Just take the money and go. Just don't ask where it comes from because I'm ashamed. I'd tell it quicker if I was a male prostitute.
Right.
Then with you people,
which you are
this
on the
is
side.
Like it's a Sopranos situation where it's best if they just think that's you're in right. The trash business. Just go into the duck feed and get some cash. That's all she needs to know. Remember he used to hide his,
sure.
his yep. money in the yep. duck feed?
Yeah.
This Saturday night, by the way, Kevin Smith and I return to Hollywood Babylon at the John Lovitz Comedy Theater. Please come and check us out. 10 p.m. You can go to the Love... Nope, don't go there. Go to thelovitz.com. For more details and for tickets. And then we're taking a little break because it's Christmas Eve the following Saturday. But then it's the big New Year's Eve show. And that's the one you want to be at.
Are you going to walk New off Year's stage Babel at 10 Eve. Till...
No, I will not walk off the stage a la Barry Manilow. I will be there counting down along with Kevin Smith until midnight. And then we go a little after midnight, too, because there's usually, there's two
two guys on stage, one's drunk and one's stoned. Yeah. We got no place else to go.
Do you kiss?
We got no place else to go.
You kiss at midnight?
No, we bring our ladies up there. The wives usually attend that show, and they kiss.
They did last year, actually. Right.
got a little nutty last year, quite frankly. So, you can go to the Lovitz for all that kind of stuff.
Anybody that's a fan of Ralph will love him drunk even more. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kevin.
Even more.
Okay. Lisa's been to the show. And,
it's a lot of fun.
Psycho Mike Catherwood, he came to the show. Mm-hmm. And who else has been there? I think that's about it from you people.
Cat Corbett came,
yeah.
Yep.
I try to lend my support
nice from people.
Here.
Nice people come. That's all I'm saying. Bean will never come.
Well, it is. It's a long way for me, but I'm saying... You've been doing this show for how long, and Kevin has not been one time?
How dare
you? We've been doing it, it's about a year and 3 or 4 months.
Well, over a year. Look, I go. I just don't
every
make
week.
I don't make it my point to go, hey, Ralph, oh, I'm here. I'm
you
here.
Go, you go incognito?
Right. I wear a hat and some glasses.
Kevin dresses up as a woman. It's very strange. Dresses up in drag, and we're not quite sure what's going on. Another day, another reboot remake of a TV show into a major motion picture. You guys may not remember the show. I really enjoyed it. It was back... in the 80s, a show called The Equalizer.
Never heard of it.
And it starred an older, heavy-set British guy named Edward Woodward. And he played a former spy who felt so guilty about the things he had done throughout his career that now that he was older and retired, he would loan himself out to people in trouble and help them out to try to salve his conscience.
That's terrible.
Trying to make up for
so
what he
put
like
did. An ad in the newspaper.
Okay.
You know, in desperate situation, need help, call The Equalizer. And he would leave a number and people would contact him and he would help them out.
There's a good idea.
That's a terrible idea.
It's a great idea.
It's a good idea for a movie because no one's heard of the TV show.
That's true.
So
Denzel Washington apparently is attached to star in the movie version about a former secret agent who offers his services up to make up for past sins to people
like
who
him.
Need him. So. It is a good idea. You're right, Kevin, because people don't have a preconceived notion except for those who used to watch The Equalizer back in the day. But
there you go. The movie has to be better.
No, they don't. It was a good show.
That's what I meant.
Man. Cameron Diaz and P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Dua Diddy Combs.
Hmm. No.
How's that for a couple?
No.
Yes. New York Page Six reports bystanders at a club in Manhattan saw the two of them at 1:15 a.m. in the morning making out.
I thought he only liked women.
See what he did there.
Wait a minute. You're saying she's not a woman.
She's not. Look,
she's
after
very slender and
J-Lo and some of the others that P. Diddy's been with, she doesn't seem like his type, that's for sure.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Made out at the table for a while, then left about an hour and a half later. Her representative has released a statement saying they are not dating. Well, no one said they're dating.
Yeah, they were making out.
Apparently, Diddy's just banging her. Why don't you release that statement? That's what we really want to know.
Wouldn't it be awesome if you just got actual truth from PR people once?
Yes, Cameron is banging Diddy, and we hope you respect their privacy
while they knock it out.
She says it was quite good,
or quite bad. Come out with a statement. Yeah, they did it once at 12:34 a.m. Yeah. And then again at 2:15.
No condom. We're all concerned. We'll keep you up to date on the blood test. Donald Trump has pulled out of his GOP debate.
What?
He has decided he is not going to moderate a presidential debate.
Does that mean no one will do it?
Yeah, no one said that.
That's
no
what
one,
it's looking like.
No one
yeah.
agreed to participate in the debate. Well, two people did.
That's not enough for a debate. Not,
well, you could. You could have a debate with two people.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Shouldn't be.
Donald did mention, though, that if he feels the right Republican candidate does not come forward from the party...
Oh, stop it.
He is still leaving his options open.
Stop it. He's not
about potentially running.
Running
for president.
Stop it.
It could happen, man.
It's not going to happen.
It could happen. President Trump.
Look, I'm going to say something that Kevin's going to hate.
Uh-oh.
But Donald Trump, as much of a joke as he is, would energize this Republican race because people are settling for the candidates they have now. Even Republicans are not crazy about any of these guys.
Right.
Well, they're not crazy along. About Trump either.
Yeah. I mean,
right. But they're crazy about some guy who potentially could get something going, some enthusiasm, some excitement, and possibly pose a challenge to the
until
president.
Until he talks for a week or two, and then they're going, no.
They've all generated excitement. Herman Cain, he was the one. He was going to be the one. Mitt Romney, he was going to be the one. Rick Perry, he was going to be the one. They all generate excitement for about 10 days.
They generate excitement compared to the lackluster field of Republicans. None of them are generating any excitement in terms of being able to actually beat an incumbent. But president.
You crazy if you think Donald
Look,
Trump
I don't think Donald Trump
anyone.
Would win. I'm saying I think he's got a better chance than a lot of these Nimrods.
I think Stephen Nimrod actually has an excellent chance. I think Nimrod
that
for
name
president.
Is unfortunate, but
Nimrod for president. That's how I'm voting this year. Today's celebrity birthday.
It's crazy to me that anyone likes Donald Trump. It really is, but he does have support out there.
No. You know where his support comes from? Himself. Getting played off by Keyboard Cat.
Cat's playing you off for the final time this year.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthday is Cliff Williams of AC/DC fame. He's the bassist of that band. 62 years old. Beth Orton is 41. Sophie Monk celebrates her 32nd birthday. And Vanessa Hudgens, star, of course, of High School Musical. I'm getting way too many bells.
Yeah, too many.
She is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Walk the show, baby.
Congratulations to Kevin and Bean Lister Anthony Wong from Irvine. Just won tickets to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in the third row. That's the kind of show you want to get up close for, too, by the way, to see those guys play in February 26th, if memory serves, at Staples Center. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. So all day long, third row tickets, then tomorrow, second row tickets, and then the day after, front row seats for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. By the way, we had Flea on yesterday. If you missed it, please go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and listen to that interview or download the podcast on iTunes. It was fascinating.
Speaking of kevinandbean.com, I spent a lot of time doing a remix of a bunch of videos, viral videos from this year, and then I completely forgot to talk about it today. Go watch it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Good.
Took a lot of work. Forgot to mention it. All right, let's talk about Southern California high schools, which are trying desperately to hold on to their tubas. The actual instrument, the tuba, is disappearing. It's being stolen from high schools.
Why?
Seven or eight Southern California high schools are now reporting their tubas are being stolen.
Now, when I heard that people were breaking into the music room and only stealing the tuba, the first thing I thought was, it must be valuable metal. You know, like so many people are stealing, you know, power lines and radiators and things like that, right? Telephone wire. I said, they must be melting them down, right? No. Apparently, according to this article in the Los Angeles Times, there's a black market for tubas right now. They're very expensive instruments, and there are lots of people who want to play the tuba, yet can't afford to buy the instrument.
There's a run on people who want to play tubas?
Apparently, because of a very popular band of music craze going on in Mexico and Southern California, there are lots of bands who need a tuba player, so they're stealing them and then selling them on the black market. So you break into the high school, you steal the tuba, then you can get $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, sometimes even $5,000 for that tuba on the black market, reselling it.
That is stunning.
It's unbelievable. So we actually have a Kevin and Bean correspondent on the streets working on the story, and I believe his name is Rudy Cisneros, and I believe he joins us on the Kevin and Bean show right now to tell us what he's been able to find out on this tragic story. Hi, Rudy.
What's up, dog?
Great to have you.
How you guys doing?
Very good, thank you. I saw it at the Acoustic Christmas over the weekend.
That was crazy, fool. I'm still recovering. You know what I'm saying? My head's all fluffy still from, like, all the wet cigarette I smoked.
Sure.
Bacardi, whatever, you know?
Do you remember doing the announcement for one of the bands? Because I don't think you were aware that you were doing it.
Nah, dog. I would have, like, Dr. Drew's like, hey, Rudy, come here. Do me a favor, whatever.
Right.
You know? And I just like, say words. You know?
That's right. Well, Rudy, you may not have been the guy we should have gone to, but we felt like you had the right connections on this story. And when we saw that tubas were being stolen all over Southern California, we thought, what's the deal here? What have you been able to find out for us?
Oh, dog, like, listen, man, like, I got, like, an inside, you know, inside look into the black market tuba, you know, like, sales. And, it, like, it's crazy because, like, Mexicans love tubas, dog. They're dope. You know what I'm saying? Because first off, like, you could play the banda musica, like you say, and it's, like, blow the tuba, like, pam-pum, pam-pum. And, like, you know, like, with gabachos and white people, you know, they like the guitar player or whatever. Like,
right.
You know. Like, I guess the tuba players get all the vagina, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
So, like, everybody wants to play the tuba, you know, but also there's, like, crazy, you know, underground market for the tuba because, like, you know what hyenas are doing? They're putting their babies in Mexico in a tuba and then blasting them over to America.
Like, no, I don't believe that's true, Rudy.
It's true.
Like, it's not a catapult. It's a musical instrument. Come on.
It's true. No, they put their babies in there. They're like, bye, Marcos. Bye, little Lupe. And then they fly over. Next thing you know. The baby's in San Diego.
That's a strong tuba player.
That would certainly explain why they would become so popular now, I guess. I hadn't
and
thought
also
of that.
Like, the California penal system, dog.
Yes.
It's encouraging the prison inmates to, like, play instruments.
Right.
Encourage them to do positive stuff or whatever. So, like a lot of people are ganking the tubas, and then they take them into the prison because you could fit so much yayo and, like, feria and weed and, like, you know, other lube and whatever you want to put inside of it. And then you give it to your homeboy, and he's got, like, a a wealth of treasures inside his tuba.
Right, but they don't check the tuba? I mean, it seems like they do a full body cavity search. They might want to check the tuba, no?
Nah, dog, you stuff it deep in the tuba. You know what I'm saying, dog? You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys my soulmate about stuffing it deep, but it's a different story.
Right, sure.
Right. And, like, also, like, I got a tuba right now. I just put a snorkel on the side. I made a bong out of it, though. Dog, it's like my whole head's all stupid from, like, being all crazy. I took a giant bong load and made a gravity bong out of
it. That is a giant bong.
And then, like, my other friend, Sniper, he melted down one. He made spokes out of it for his Buick Regal, dog. You know what I'm saying? Crazy 100-spoke wheels out of a tuba.
Wow. It does seem like there's a lot more to the story than was in the LA Times article. I guess you're the guy to go to.
My sister's friend Lupe, little Misty Eyes, you know that's what they call her down at La Puente.
Uh-huh.
Like she melted it and then she made a statue of Linda Ronstadt.
What do you? Why would she make a statue of Linda Ronstadt?
Cause, dude, why not? Dog, she's fly. You know what I'm saying?
I haven't heard the name Linda Ronstadt in decades.
Well, take it to the bank, dog. That's where Blue Bayou's at, bitch.
And on that, Feliz Navidad, my friend.
Whatever.
So we're cleaning out the closets here. Everything must go.
Yep.
Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, so, it's time for our year-end clearance sale.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the final edition for 2011 of Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
We've got to make room in the file for next year's.
That's right.
Entries.
So we came up with this because we realized that we suck. We say a lot of things that are, in retrospect, maybe not a good idea, and we want to give ourselves the opportunity to kind of get it off our conscience a little bit by apologizing to the listeners and retracting the remark that we thought at the time would be funny and failed.
I think we all try to be funny. I'm not positive about some of us being, but I think. We all try to be funny. Sometimes Bean says things because he knows he's going to get a reaction out of us, and sometimes I think that's why he does it.
Bean likes the file. He likes to live there.
I think he does.
He wants to move there if he could.
Bean is the first person in the file, and you were talking about Regis Philbin, and he was talking about how he is the greatest broadcaster ever and how much he loves him, and it just went on and on.
Guys like David Letterman would agree with me. Guys who worship Regis for the great broadcaster.
They worship him because he was on television and they were kids, and they looked up to him because they wanted to be on television. Doesn't mean he's a great broadcaster.
Is that your final answer?
See? Oh. See what he did there? Because he hosted a show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Final. That was the catchphrase.
Final. So you got that one.
Are you asking me if I want to take that? Do I want to take that back? Is that your final?
Yes!
Yeah, that's the name of the bit. That's what we're asking you.
What do you think, Lisa?
I thought that worked.
No,
leave Lisa
that was
out of this.
Appropriate and funny.
You own up the responsibility of this. One way or the other.
Wait a minute. Did it work or was it funny are two different questions. We understood.
However,
what you meant.
The answer is the same to both questions.
Did it work and is it funny? Here's what I'm doing. I'm putting myself in that exact same conversation another time down the road, and I think I would do the same thing. So I'm not going to take that one back. I'm actually fine with that.
Yeah, what happened?
That
what
just happened means you don't learn from your experience.
How dare you? I'm not asking Lisa anymore. I'm not taking that one back.
This one is Ralph.
What?
He is talking about a celebrity.
Would you like to take that back?
And that's the wrong clip. Here we go.
He, of course, from Boy Meets World. He is 31 years old today. Fiona Apple celebrates her 34th birthday. I've heard she's been a bad girl. That's what I've heard.
File.
Come on!
File. Well, you don't even like that.
I stand by that. I saw it in your eyes. You weren't even proud of it at the time.
And that was from a
song lyric from about 15 years ago, right, Ralph?
A huge hit.
Yeah,
a huge
15 years
Fiona
ago.
Apple hit.
Right.
What do you think, Fiona Apple? What song do you think of?
Right, but it was just her birthday. It wasn't her getting in trouble or any other kind of tie-in. It was just her birthday.
Yeah, you may have a point. All right, I'll take that back.
All right, excellent. Yeah. All right, Bean is back.
Okay.
As we talk about the mayor of Washington, D.C., we were talking about that story recently.
This guy came out of prison, ran for mayor again in Washington, D.C. Guess what happened?
One! What a stud.
Washington, D.C. is hunked up.
And you know what he said when he found out he had been reelected after Jill?
No.
What's up?
God.
File.
Man.
You even made sense and you get that.
That was a force. That was a force
file. But wasn't that a throwback to
the filing cabinet to put his own file into the file?
I'm very happy with that.
You're a dick.
All right. Wasn't that a throwback? Yes, we had that.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were still playing the tape. Yeah, that was a throwback to us discussing that some people were trying to bring Was Up back. That's why I said it, right?
Right. And having thought that and known that.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll throw that one back.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. It's about time. Woo. We're back to Ralph.
What? Come on.
We are talking about the, I think the family that has like 20 kids or something like that. And Bean.
The Duggars.
Duggars, yeah. And Bean is mentioning all of their names.
Her eldest, Ralph, I'm seeing here, is 23 years old. The youngest is 23 months old. They are Joshua, Gina, John David, Jill, Jessa, Jinger, Joseph, Josiah, Joanna, Jedediah, Jason, James, Justin, Jackson, Jeremiah, Joanna, Jennifer, Jordan, Grace, and Josie.
Jeremiah, by the way, is a bullfrog.
Oh, my God!
Wow. He's not a good-looking kid. That's what I'm saying. He's not a
I understand.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You're laughing. You were laughing at that joke, Kevin.
I was laughing so at
the
bad.
King of demanding people take
was,
stuff back. You were laughing even
laughing
at the replay
at
of that.
Mugs going, oh, my God!
That, no.
I, would you like to take that back?
I stand by. Like
Ralph, look, that was a lyric from a 1971
yes, that
song.
Everyone still knows.
And, by the way, there were four names after Jeremiah that you had to wait Bean out before you could go back to Jeremiah.
That's why it's a dish best served cold, my friend.
Would you like to take that back?
Nope. I'm sticking by Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog.
All right. You really think people still know that song? You think Chip knows
I
that
don't
reference?
Care.
No, nobody knows.
Okay, all right, so you're sticking
all
with
I know
that.
Is one of the kids is not named Jinger.
Well, we found out after much. The fact it's Ginger. It's just spelled all honked up. That's
Jinger.
All.
This one is
it looks like Jinger.
But you take that back, Jinger.
I'm happy to. I didn't know.
Spending at least a year in Lompoc for his sentencing. So that's sad news because he was really likable on that show. But things went south.
Yeah. So there he is, stuck in Lompoc again.
Oh, my God, file.
What?
Wow. It's just. It's like almost Lodi, but not quite. And it's just. It's a sloppy, sort of tangential maybe file.
Guys, we're running on just fumes at this point. We're barely hanging on to the end of the week.
Well, you know
Come
what?
On.
If you're running on fumes, you know what you don't do? Just gun it in the wrong direction. That's not what you do with your car.
Would you like to take that back?
Stuck in Lompoc again? Do I want to take that back? That's yes, I do.
Oh,
that was immediate.
What?
I didn't
quick
even,
yes.
Didn't even hesitate.
No, I knew at the time that that was tragic. That was just me being tired.
All right, this is a tag team between Bean and Ralph, and I have an idea of what I would do if it were me, to, you know, taking it back or not. But let's listen to this as Ralph and Bean set each other up for alley-oop after alley-oop.
This Neil Sean from Journey married a woman, a Playboy playmate, 2 months ago.
What?
In Paris with all of the band members from Journey present. He married her 2 months ago.
Wow.
Now he's shacked up with this fame whore. What's that? What's going on there?
Look, obviously when it comes to romance, you just don't stop believing, you know? You just...
you just
think to get swept away. I guess that's what happens with a guy like that.
But you got to look at poor Tariq Salahi. I mean, don't you ever think, I mean, who's crying now? I mean, come on, Ralph.
I do, because when the lights go out in the city, this guy is all alone. That's all I'm saying. He's all by himself.
But isn't this sort of shenanigans, this romance, this playground stuff, isn't this for only the young? I mean, come on.
I have no more tape.
Look, Bean, the wheel of the sky keeps on turning. And that's just how life keeps rolling along. You have to roll with the punches and just keep going.
Okay, but what happened to the wedding vows where you agree you're going to stay together faithfully? Where's that? You ever think about that?
I don't know.
Thank you, Lisa.
I do. I think they need a trophy or
that
something.
That was virtuoso.
Kevin, are you asking us to take that back? Is that what's going on here?
I told you I had an idea ahead of time. I'm telling you right now, do not take that back.
Wow.
Because it was way too good.
Yep.
It's a game I can't play. But after the second one, I would have said yes. Take it back. Third, yes. Fourth, fifth. I don't know. Not happy with it.
All right.
We never even got into the part about how those two were going their separate ways. That never even came up.
We don't need more.
And the fact that, you know, his wife is loving, touching, and squeezing another is sure.
Would you like to take that back?
Both of you for right now.
Okay, take those back right now.
Would you like to take that back?
All right, so we're going to say no on the Journey
moves.
Correct. Thank you very much.
All right. And then one more, and we usually don't do this, but we were talking to Michael Jackson in heaven.
Oh.
And that he made some kind of a joke. It made it into the file. So here's what happened.
Mike, how are you?
Good morning. How are you, Captain B?
Very good. Thank you.
Great.
Well, this seems a little macabre that somebody would own the bed that you died in.
and corny, I think. It's Corner Macabre.
Wow.
Can we put Michael Jackson in the file? Is that even possible?
Put that in the file.
Hey, F you, I'm dead.
All right, let's dial up the hotline to heaven. I hope Michael's listening to the show. We can give him the opportunity to take it back.
Oh, demo!
Michael Jackson, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Kevin and Bean?
Very good, thank you.
Merry Christmas.
To you as well.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Holiday up here.
What?
Christmas, big holiday up here.
Sure. Yeah. I guess it would be, yeah, with Jesus and whatnot.
Well, what do you get the guy who's made everything?
That's a good point. I don't know if you're listening to the show or you got a tip-off of what we were doing, but we're playing Would You Like to Take That Back right now.
Oh,
we're just discussing
that game.
A conversation.
Did you do the journey one?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, we did that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't take that back.
No, they didn't.
Oh, thank you. Thank you,
Michael.
What about this one?
Mike, how are you?
Good morning. How are you, Kevin B?
Very good. Thank you.
Great.
Well, this seems a little macabre that somebody would own the bed that you died in.
And corny, I think. It's Corner Macabre.
Wow.
Can we put Michael Jackson in the file? Is that even possible?
Like to take that back?
Come on. Wait a minute. What?
Corner Macabre.
Right, we got it.
Did you not?
Oh, that was awesome.
Hey, would you like to take that back?
No, Jesus is laughing over here. Whoa. He likes it.
That's unfair. We can't. None of us can claim that.
That's right. That's, so Jesus liked my joke. It stays.
That's all right. Unfair.
He's not taking
it
back.
I'm not taking it back.
Wow. You're allowed.
So all right. Suck it.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:45. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble with the time. That's your question.
It's hard. It's a clock. It's a sundial you have to read.
And yeah. You're new. Hey, Beer Mug gave you the Criss Angel Magic Kit as a Christmas gift earlier today, Ralph. And we requested we see you levitate before the end of the program. Is that happening? Are we still sticking around waiting for that to happen or no?
Look at that.
Oh,
look at me.
I can't see his feet, but it looks like he's levitating.
Before we do the last showbiz beat here, Lisa May sent some presents along and she asked me to open one on the air. Yeah.
So okay.
I think this is one you will particularly enjoy this year.
Can you get that closer to the mic?
I hope it's that book that you guys were talking about. I hope it's that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's the Justin Bieber singing toothbrush, ladies and gentlemen. How about that?
It sings when you brush.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
All right. I don't know if it needs a battery or something. Maybe I can get it going during the show.
I certainly hope so.
Thank you very much, Lisa. It's
You're
very
so
thoughtful
welcome.
Of you.
Happy
lucky,
holidays.
Lucky it's not Justin Bieber singing dental floss because you'd never hear it, Bean.
Wait, what?
Bean doesn't floss.
Or Q-tip.
Remember when he caught all that flack from his dentist because he never flosses?
That's right, yeah.
But we found out lots of people don't floss.
It doesn't make
it right.
Yeah,
that makes it better.
Flossing is for losers, right?
A lot of people kill. Doesn't mean it's okay.
Yeah, teeth losers.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Very thoughtful.
Let's hear some. Come on.
Well, I got to find a battery and whatnot. I'll work on that while you work on the showbiz beat here.
Just a quick email before I get to showbiz news.
Okay.
Ralph, my name is Jeremiah. I'm 28, and every day someone cracks the Jeremiah was a bullfrog joke.
Oh.
Tell your friends I even made my license plate say bullfrog. His personal license plate is bullfrog.
Yeah. He just decided to go with it.
Can't beat him, join him.
Just saying.
What year was that song? 70s? Late
70s? 70s, yeah.
1971.
But it's been around. It's a classic. It's been around forever.
It was the number one song of 1971. The biggest hit of the whole year, by the way.
Jeremiah's 28 years old, and he still hears the bullfrog.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I was saying the other day, I told Kevin this, that I'd like to do a phone-in topic of people who were named after songs, because I think that would be hell. If your name is, you know, Mandy or whatever it is, if you're every single place you go, people go, oh, I like the song. You know?
That's a good point.
Wouldn't you hate it? I would.
Are there that many unique song names, though?
Yes.
Sharona.
Lisa brought up Sharona. What that poor woman's
life. How many people
are
named Sharona?
Yeah, I mean, not many, but
maybe
there are a lot.
I think
Jeremiah, Mandy, like you mentioned, Brandy, I guess.
And then we're out.
I don't know.
Rosanna. Rosanna.
Sure. I think it would be interesting.
Joanna.
All right, we got some.
If you're a boy named Sue, that would be difficult. Just saying. Hey, did you guys watch Fear Factor when it returned to NBC?
Taped it. Haven't watched it yet.
You are not alone if you did watch. Amazing numbers for Fear Factor.
drew an 8 share between with adults between 18 and 49. That is the highest non-Olympics performance in that particular time slot for NBC since February 2008.
Wow.
It's massive numbers.
That's something.
8.6 million total viewers tuned in to watch the return of Fear Factor. So congratulations to Joe Rogan and the Fear Factor guys and everybody at NBC. Big numbers for NBC.
Just let me go back for 1 second to the girl's name thing.
Okay.
Wow, a song named after a girl. There aren't a million of those already.
Name 20.
Rosanna, Roxanne, Michelle, Allison, Sarah, Angie, Brandy, Mandy, Gloria, Cecilia, Maggie Mae, Jessica, Nancy, Barbara Ann, Billie Jean, Layla, Lola, Polly, Helena, Jenny from the Block.
Name 6 more.
Sherry, Laura, Wendy, Maria, Peggy Sue, Minnie the Moocher.
Name 5 more.
Tracy, Jean, Jane, Marianne, Eleanor Rigby.
Go yourself.
All right. I wish I'd have had that a little more timely fashion, no, but I think it was useful.
It was absolutely worthwhile bringing back.
That was. It was a worthwhile interruption.
It scared me a little bit when B said, let's get back to that. Yeah. He was going to start reading from a book or something. But no, it was very
And I also have the Justin Bieber toothbrush loaded and ready to go when you would request that.
Bring it. Bring it.
Okay. Bring it now. This is what I'm going to be hearing when I brush my teeth now. Quality gift, Lisa. I can't believe you didn't get it from QVC.
Good audio, too, right?
It's just, there's no words.
I don't know what's going on with that.
I would plunge that right into my ear and hopefully just kill myself if that's what I heard.
The dubstep album. I want that one put on.
Yeah, right.
Very thoughtful gift, Lisa. Thank
you. Shake your fillings loose with a dubstep
it's true.
Toothbrush.
Right,
turn it off. Can you turn that off?
I just threw it across the room. I can't turn it off. Please.
Just broke it.
Speaking of the girls named after songs, wasn't one of your daughters named after songs,
yes,
Kevin?
Yes, Maggie Mae.
Well, there you go. See? Yeah. We should call her. Get her on the phone. Let's ask her how it is.
No.
Do people go around all the time saying, wake up, Maggie, I think I got something to say to you.
She came in the other day and she said, you know, that song's sort of negative. I was hoping you wouldn't notice that.
Yeah. Yeah. Your mom and I danced to Creep too at our wedding. We had a problem. We had a problem with
That's
music in our family.
Creep. Poor Creep. Oh, I feel creep. So bad for her.
She really has a hard time of it. The SAG Award nominations were released today. Interesting list of actors and actresses for movie and television. This is other actors voting for actors they believe had the best performances of the year. Here's some of the big categories. Best actress in a leading role in a movie, drama. Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs. I rented Albert Nobbs one night. Not what I expected.
Wasn't what I expected either.
Viola, actually, it was exactly what I expected. That's the problem with a name like Albert Nobbs. It's got to be good. Viola Davis for The Help. Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady. Tilda Swinton, We Need to Talk About Kevin. Michelle Williams, My Week with Marilyn. Best actor in a leading role. Demian Bichir, A Better Life.
Well, is this from a different? Yep. Is this from a different year? What is this?
No! It's the one about the gardener who wants to help his son.
Help his son.
He's Hispanic. Do you remember that? It was a small independent film.
I do not remember that. No.
No way.
Hispanic gardener? Was it science fiction?
This is worth the time, though. I can tell you that right now.
You got some place to go?
Yes.
Where?
Any place else but here.
All right. All right.
That's fair, right?
Yeah. Celebrity birthdays. No, I'm good. No,
I mean,
good. This is how you want to end the year. Fine.
This
is how you want to end it. Fine. This is how it ends.
It ends here.
Not with a whimper, but with a bang.
Lisa, Casey, who keeps her finger on the button here on the Kevin Meach Show, reminds us that the movie that you're talking about, and I remember it too, was the one that the actor who plays Esteban on Weeds starred in. He was the guy who played the lead in that movie.
Didn't help
His
anything.
His performance is supposed to be great.
That didn't make it even a little more interesting.
So it did get a little bit of attention because of that.
George Clooney for Descendants, Leonardo DiCaprio for J. Edgar, Jean Dujardin for The Artist, and Brad Pitt for Moneyball. Those are your nominations for actor and actress in a leading role drama. Just a leading role period. I'm sorry. It's not drama or comedy. I'm thinking the wrong award ceremony. For television... Oh, it is broken up into drama and comedy for television.
I feel like this year is going out the way it came in, which is weak sauce.
Look it up. Look, okay,
see
fine.
See Mike's
yes, he's pointing. Okay.
Mike's pointing to his watch.
Right.
Which he doesn't have a watch.
He doesn't have a watch. He's pointing to a tattoo where if he had a watch, it would be there.
I would just like to say I hate you all.
Oh, yeah.
But as for the listeners, thank you for all your love and support this year, as always. I hope you have a very, very happy holiday and a great 2012 to everyone in this room,
y'all can do it right here. Right here. This is where I direct your eyes, right down here.
And we'll see you in January or February or March. We're not sure yet.
We'll see when they let us come back.